camp. I'm Benji Hire at That Base with the latest.
In other news, Labour orders councils not to adopt a four-day working week. They're saying that they're not providing value for money and they should actually consider having their pay cut. The families who are pleading with David Lammy over the Palestine Action hunger strikers, some of whom now it's 51 days they've been on hunger strike. A boost for children leaving care with free prescriptions and dental treatment. One fewer people will be driving home for Christmas. The song he never believed in but sold 40 million copies. Sadly, Chris Rea dies aged 74. And we look back at the moments when it's, oh no, Minister.
Just remind listeners where the new crossing is, where it takes off and where it lands.
You'll forgive me.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 7 o'clock, police leaders will reportedly push for forces in England and Wales to stop recording non-crime hate incidents in the new year. Officials are set to meet with the Home Secretary next month and warn that logging them is diverting away from fighting crime. Under new proposals, officers will only record the most serious antisocial behaviour offences. Last month, the Chief Constable of Greater Manchester Police, Sir Stephen Watson, told Nick it's a delicate balancing act.
I am no defender of this notion of policing hurty words and fluff and nonsense on social media, particularly that which people are lawfully entitled to put forward. But we also need to recognise that the online space is used to harass people to perpetrate domestic abuse. And we've got to be a little cautious that everything in the online space, it can't automatically be assumed not to be a crime.
Donald Trump has denied ever visiting Jeffrey Epstein's private Caribbean island. The US president has spoken for the first time since last week's release of files into the late sex offender. The publication's been heavily criticised after many documents were redacted and photos were published without context. Mr. Trump has told reporters in Florida that being pictured with Epstein shouldn't ruin your reputation.
A lot of people are very angry that pictures are being released of other people that really had nothing to do with Epstein, but they're in a picture with him because he was at a party, and you ruin a reputation of somebody. But I never went there, but a lot of people did go there.
Politicians in Australia are continuing to debate tougher gun laws following last week's mass shooting at Bondi Beach. The bill passed through the lower house of Parliament of New South Wales yesterday. The proposals include limits on the number of firearms that a person can own, but those against the changes said the legislation has been rushed. People who have grown up in care will be able to get free medicine and dental services until their 25th birthday. A new pilot scheme will also aim to improve access to mental health support. The Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, says the initiative aims to remove a barrage of health inequalities faced by adult care leavers. And the Met Office says 2025 is on course to be the hottest year ever recorded in the UK. Experts say the average annual temperature is currently well ahead of the previous record set in 2022. Temperatures between Christmas and the new year are expected to dip, meaning there is some doubt with the final figures. In the city, the FTSE 100 will reopen later at 98.65. It closed down 31 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and a euro 14. LBC weather, cloudy for large parts of the UK today. Some outbreaks of rain in the west with a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
How would you describe McCain vibes?
I would reckon it's like a crisp and a chip. If they had a baby, do you know what I mean? Right, no more.
A chip and a crisp.
Combination.
It's got crisp ancestry, but it's a chip.
Like a hot chip crisp combo thingy. Yeah. Pure poetry that was.
McCain vibes. Our chip crisp combo hot snack thingies in a freezer aisle near you.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
4 minutes after 7, Tuesday, the 23rd of December, marching into a row. The plan to use a military site to house asylum seekers to the fury of local residents. We'll bring a live report and give you the full background to that. Another row, the government going on the attack for Reform UK. Now, here's comments made by Deputy Leader Richard Tice, claiming in September, for which he has apologised, parents using and abusing free taxes.
I regret to say that there are some parents who are using and abusing the system, and we have to be honest about that.
But surely when you look at the financial pressures, going away from the comments that he made regarding the actual children, there is a case. We'll look at that later in the show. In other news, families plead with Justice Secretary David Lammy, Palestine Action hunger strikers, some of whom have now been fasting for 51 days, taking just water with salt. They're desperate for a meeting with David Lammy. They want the UK to bring about the end of the conflict in the Middle East. These are very noble and well-inspired people, but the UK can't solve that problem. Are these people merely going to lose their lives? In other news, don't switch to a four-day week. That's the government ordering local councils. You may recall, speaking of us back in July, Bridget Smith, now leader of South Cambridgeshire District Council, that's one very much in the government's sights here, says the four-day week has been a success.
The experience has been really positive. The reason that we embarked on it was that we were really struggling to recruit and retain the staff that we needed.
Dubbed Britain's angriest man is finally behind bars. He's the one who hurled abuse at that female driver. He's been at it again and he's been jailed. We'll give you the full details on that. And as this is the last time I will be speaking with you for this year, we're going to look back at the major stories. Here's a big one across the Atlantic. President Trump, and remember, Liberation Day.
Indonesia, Malaysia, Cambodia. Oh, look at Cambodia, 97%. They made a fortune with the United States of America. United Kingdom, 10%.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345-6060-973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
The back and forth has been going on for months. The idea that military sites, one in Crowborough, one near Inverness, would be used to house asylum seekers has been discussed. But now it would appear, at least for the Crowborough one, that a decision has been made and people could be arriving within weeks. LBC's reporter Benji Hyde joins me from Crowborough. Benji, good morning.
Nick, good morning. Yes, from Crowborough, the scene of protests and remonstration ever since people here learned that 540 asylum seekers will be moving in practically next door. Here's a sense of the mood at some recent fiery town hall meetings.
If there are questions that you disagree with the answers, that is entirely your right to do so, but it doesn't help to shout and insult them, okay? We'll get nowhere with it. So, at this point, I think it's only fair. I can't help you, sir. If you're going to do that, pointing the fingers and standing is not going to help our situation here. Now, please listen to some of the answers and the questions that I know you want to put. I think at this point, sir, please sit down.
So why here and why now, Nick? Well, the government wants to end the use of hotels for asylum accommodation and it's earmarked this army camp as the best place to host these asylum seekers. But the facility was not deemed fit for purpose. In fact, it's been undergoing major adjustments to make it ready. Andrew Wilson is a district councillor for Crowborough.
There has been a lot of work already done in that camp. We've heard that it was going to happen by the end of November. That didn't happen. And then, you know, we've obviously got through most of December now. Last week, the Home Office said they wouldn't be moving anyone in before Christmas or before the new year. I would suspect that they'll make a final decision when the camp is ready for occupation.
And we anticipate that to happen within a matter of weeks, if that. Ultimately, it leaves very little time to object to these plans. And yet still, a local residence group, Crowborough Shield, we'll hear from them in just a bit, has raised tens of thousands of pounds for a judicial review. And the local council as well is supporting that move. In other words, various parties locally are now sort of rowing in the same direction to try to prevent this from happening. And this is a united front that sort of transcends political allegiances, Nick. You speak to more right-leaning members of the council. They say that this move isn't safe because the migrants will be allowed to come and go from the town freely. And then some left-wing representatives, for example, the Greens, have also voiced opposition, but on the grounds that treating asylum seekers in this manner is inhumane. There's also been concern expressed from the local Conservative MP Nusrat Ghani, who you spoke to on your programme just last month.
The challenge that we have is that the Crowborough site is what was previously assessed and rejected for a number of reasons. It's too small, it costs too much to adapt, it's in very close to a town and it's in the middle of a forest. Mm-hmm. So this site has seen as wholly inappropriate previously. So we've got this really absurd situation where the Home Office can't even show us any of the assessments. We know they're going to have to make so much investment. It'll cost no cheaper to put people in the Crowborough camp than it would in a hotel.
The Home Office, however, is absolutely standing its ground on this. It's promising to accelerate delivery on the government's pledge to close those asylum hotels and instead move the asylum seekers to what it calls more suitable sites in order to ease pressure on communities and to cut costs. But here's the thing, though, Nick. As Nusrat Ghani noted, it could cost even more to house people at military bases like this one. On the point of community cohesion, well, there's plenty of people in Crowborough who don't feel that way. And thirdly, the numbers of those staying in temporary accommodation has risen in past months. Meanwhile, 1,400 more people came over on small boats last week alone. Not to mention, Nick, just finally, being at this site, I have to say it is rather confusing determining who is in charge. We know that operational control was handed over from the Ministry of Defence to the Home Office. And yet, standing here, there are still MOD signs up. I can see them warning this place is a military training area. And then right next to them, you've got the CCTV signage with the Home Office number underneath. But one thing certainly is clear, and that is that this small town is bracing itself for a tumultuous festive period as it steels itself for potentially major changes ahead, as it continues to be the epicenter of this national debate about immigration.
Benji Heyer reporting for LBC from Crowborough. Benji, thanks for that. Now, Benji referenced Crowborough Shield. Kim Bailey is the director and chair, and, of course, it's taking the Home Office to court. And Kim Bailey joins me now. Briefly, can you just run through a list of your and your colleagues' concerns? I think my reporter Benji has done a fine job, but just to hear them from you as well, if you could. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Nick. Yeah, Benji's done a great job there. And the first thing he talks about is the government's ambitions, which is to reduce the impact on communities and the cost of keeping people in asylum hotels. Well, he's absolutely spot on, and so is Nusrat, that this has actually cost a hell of a lot more. And like it's like for like in terms of cost per bed per night. But then you've got that upfront cost of getting the site ready to be habitable. It's a training centre, so it's not been designed to have people living in it permanently. So, A, it's costing an absolute fortune upfront, more than the hotels. And the impact on the communities is absolutely huge. This is on the edge of a forest. It's in a kind of, you know, a hidden little town where you've got completely tree-lined twittens and parks, which children take those walks home from school. If you look at the atrocities that are happening on the TV that we're seeing in the media, this is what the community is afraid of, because there have been no impact assessments. There's been no risk assessments. The Home Office hasn't been forthcoming in sharing them, even with Wealden District Council, as far as I'm aware. So they are the partnership organisation, and they are, you know, they're saying that they've had nothing either.
When you confront the council, Kim, and you're right, I can reference you to Ethiopian sex offenders in Essex, and we've had Afghan sex offenders in other parts of the country. When residents put these claims and fears directly to local councillors, what is their response, Kim?
There isn't a response, and that's been the biggest problem, is that up until recently, Wealden have not engaged. I mean, you've heard from Councillor Andrew Wilson. He's been absolutely fantastic, along with a couple of others. But the leadership, which is Rachel Millwood and James Partridge, up until recently, there has been absolutely nothing coming from them. They've said, we've had to direct all of our queries to the Home Office. So that's either suggestive of they don't want to give it, or they don't have the information, which is absolutely absurd if they are the partner organisation. So
where do you think... And I admitted it doesn't fall to you, by the way, but where do you think these people should be housed?
Well, so when I went up to Parliament and I actually spoke with Alex Norris, the minister, and I said to him, you know, why Crowborough? Why have you tried, and the MOD as well, sorry, I spoke to those as well. Why Crowborough? You've got thousands of sites that are not going to impact on local communities that are more remote. And, you know, we know that they use the buses at Wethersfield. We know that Foster Hartley have won the contract again here in Crowborough to take them elsewhere. Why Crowborough, when it is going to displace thousands of cadets, impact on communities, cost an absolute fortune? And it was all about speed. So they'd said to it was what sites could they mobilise the quickest? And Crowborough and Inverness were the two that came up. So it shows the mentality of it, that this isn't about less impact on communities, reducing the cost. This was all about speed. This is all about, you know, and you heard Keir Starmer saying, we will be using Inverness, we will be using Crowborough. But then you've got the Home Office saying, oh, no decision's been made. It's just about moving the chess pieces. It's not safe, and it's really not, it's not the best idea at all.
Lastly, do you have other campaigns or demos planned? What will you do when it gets closer to potential arrival?
So the Crowborough protests are planned for every Sunday up until this decision is reversed. So every Sunday, they have been getting bigger and bigger, apart from the last couple of weeks. We had obviously a very heavy rain, but thousands still turned up. But every week, those residents, and myself included, will be there.
All right. Stay in touch. Let us know how you get on. Thank you for your time this morning. Kim Bailey is director and chair of the Crowborough Shield. They're taking the Home Office to court over the rehousing. I better tell you, the government has told, or the Home Office has told the LBC, we're furious at the level of illegal migrants and asylum hotels. The government will close every asylum hotel. Work is well underway with more suitable sites being brought forward. Then they say, we are working closely with local authorities, property partners and across government so that we can accelerate delivery, ends quote. You're not working very closely with local people, are you? They are furious. We'll take your calls on that. And unfortunately, there's one fewer person driving home for Christmas. Driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces. And the story behind how that became a hit is almost as fascinating as the man himself, Chris Rea, who sadly died. And what a time of year to die at age 74. Have an appreciation of his career. 7:15, LBC News Headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly push for all forces to stop recording non-crime hate incidents in the new year. Russia has carried out a fresh wave of air attacks on Ukraine's capital Kyiv overnight. And the Met Office says 2025's on course to be the hottest year ever recorded in the UK. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the country. Some outbreaks of rain in western areas, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. It's slow on the M25 clockwise. The exit slip road at junction 14 for Heathrow is closed because of an accident. There are queues in Canary Wharf on Trafalgar Way in both directions between Preston's Road and Carter Street because of people heading to and from Billingsgate Market. There's only one Woolwich ferry running. That's because of technical problems. On the trains, Southern and Gatwick Express are running a reduced service at Victoria because of festive timetable changes. South Eastern are running to a Saturday timetable. South Western Railway, they're running a reduced service between Waterloo and Exeter St David's because of a shortage of trains. Greater Anglia still have no service between Broxbourne and Hertford East because of flooding. And there's disruption to a number of TfL bus routes in southwest, west and northwest London. That's because of a strike.
The new LBC app. News your way. This is LBC.
Say yes to summer with the biggest ever TUI sale with a My TUI account. Say yes to flexible payment options. Say yes to free kids' places, even in the school summer holidays. With so many holiday options to choose from, you pick it, we sort it. Holiday countdown started. TUI, Atoll and app to protect it. Booking T's and C's apply. Selected departures. Minimum spend applies. Subject to availability. See website for details.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
This is what award-winning customer service sounds like from real Octopus Energy calls.
You just get it right, the customer service, the sort of communication. You've stepped it up, I think, for an energy company, so well done.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
With Lidl Plus, there's no need to stress to impress this Christmas. Get 15% off deluxe chilled party food, like golden prawn toasties with ponzu dip, scrumptious paella bites, and delicious vegetable dim sum. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only, subject to availability. Selected stores, terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/lbtv. Ends 31st of the 12th.
This Christmas Eve, the £50 million lotto jackpot must be won.
Must be won.
Must be won.
Must be won.
Yes, the £50 million lotto jackpot must be won on Christmas Eve. There's magic in the air, so get your ticket today. Lotto from the National Lottery. It could be you. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Octopus Energy. Great value and outstanding customer service. Recommended by Which? 8 years running. Octopus Energy.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
19 minutes after 7. Bruce, you're going to be the first caller on the housing of those asylum seekers. Quickly look at the front pages. And while no two front pages have the same story, all but one newspaper has on its front page a picture of Chris Rea, who, as I've already told you, just for the news headline, sadly died. And what an extraordinary time, so close to Christmas. with that reluctant Christmas hit, a song he didn't really believe in. It sold 40 million copies, and of course the royalties delivered each year, now fortunately for his widow. Appreciation of his career in just a moment. The story's on the front page. Well, a wide choice. What should we do? The Daily Mail, ex-counsellor drugged and raped wife with other men. That is in quotes. This is a court case that's already been referred to on LBC. So that has to go before the courts. Interesting one for the Daily Mirror. The King is officially the hardest working royal. He clocked up 532 engagements this year. 330 more than his son William. Charles is 77 and, of course, I'm so sorry, King Charles, I'm sorry about that, King, Your Majesty, 77 and recovering or dealing with cancer. William is 43, so it just shows how hard-working he is. You won't be surprised to hear that Princess Anne is in second place, if it's important to you. She's at 478, and if it's important to you, if you want to know who to finish close out the triumvirate, it's Prince Edward, the Duke of Edinburgh, who's in at third with 313. Extraordinary work by the King, seeing as he has that condition. One last front page, let's make it the Daily Telegraph. Non-crime hate to be scrapped. I sense we might have heard a little bit about that. I think their second lead might be a bigger one, and we're going to look at it in a moment. Or a bit later in the show, I'm so sorry. Don't switch to four-day week. This is a row between government, central and local. Central government telling local government they should not be moving to a four-day week. Bruce, I'm going to talk to you about the idea of housing asylum seekers down there in Sussex and, of course, in the barracks. But as I've mentioned Chris Rea, and as I've got the opportunity to be able to speak to someone who worked with the great man, let's move to that now. At Christmas time, we let him light and we banish shame. Oh, if you think it's over, cause you said goodbye on the beach. Yeah. Down on the beach, driving home for Christmas. Oh, I can't wait to see those faces.
Poignant doesn't get near it, does it, that he dies so close to Christmas. You heard them, by the way, singing that line from Band-Aid, Fool If You Think It's Over, on the beach and driving home for Christmas. Well, let's turn to a musician who's worked with everybody from the Rolling Stones to Diana Ross, Elton John to Tina Turner, and obviously Chris Rea. Martin Ditcham, privileged to have you on, Martin. Sad news, obviously, that you work with him. How will you remember the great man? Good morning.
Oh, good morning. Well, I'll remember his wonderful stories he used to tell. He used to spin a great yarn. His soulful singing on stage and in the studio. His generosity, extreme generosity. The more he got famous, the more he was generous. He used to take us all out on tour to great restaurants, got private planes around Russia and the Baltic states, great hotels. He was a good person. And loyal to us, and loyal to his wife, as you probably know, he was with from the age of about 16.
They met when they were 16, yeah, at school, and they stayed together all the way through to the sad news yesterday. And he was a very grounded bloke. He once was asked to go on a tour of the United States, and he said, I prefer growing tomatoes to touring.
Well, self-effacing is the word that keeps coming up. And, you know, not a natural pop star. He was always happier being in the shadows with us at the back. I suppose if he'd have had a Robbie Williams kind of a Freddie Mercury
personality
confidence, he would have probably gone further. But he did very well without all that.
So was he a reluctant star then, Martin?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean He says of other stars, you try and get Sting to do something without 15 advisors. These boys are like Russian princes. They're bothered about their hair. They're constantly having something done. It's narcissistic. He didn't hold back, did he?
Well, he didn't. Well, he's a true northerner. And a singer-songwriter, great guitarist. That's what he wanted, the music to speak for itself. And he rarely spoke on stage. He just delivered And that was it. Not pop star material, but certainly wrote some wonderful stuff.
Enjoyed talking with you, Martin. Thanks. Privileged to have you on. Martin Ditcham has worked with everyone from the Rolling Stones, Elton John, Tina Turner, U2, the whole lot. And, of course, Chris Rea, who's died age 74. He leaves his wife and children. And it really was, he was in 1978. They were driving home for Christmas, and he just started singing it out of a window. He never thought it would be a hit. It sold 40
million copies. Condolences to his family. 724. So the migrants are moving in to the military base in Crowborough. Bruce in Swiss Cottage, thank you for holding, sir. Your reaction to that? Good morning.
Good morning. Just a question. It might actually be a stupid question, so I apologise.
Go on. I'm sure it won't be.
Are they allowed to volunteer?
Are they allowed to volunteer? They can't work. No, they're not able. And that is a very moot point, because a lot of people say they should be able to work, because then they won't be hanging around, perhaps on street corners, and getting into trouble in some instances.
Not work. But out of 600 chaps, there might be 20 carpenters or 20 bricklayers.
Right.
Who might say, well, we will clear all the roads for free, we'll build a wall for free. They're not paid labour.
I wonder if they. I mean, I just don't know if we say, look, can you trim trees?
It might be a silly question, but you might have 20 carpenters,
yes,
and 20 chippies who say, we don't want pay, we just want to.
But what do you think the likelihood is that they'll want to put in a day's graft in the rain in Sussex without any pay?
I think very likely they would do.
Really?
Well,
why?
Well, if you're a carpenter or a bricklayer, you want to. That's what you want to do.
I don't know if you want to do it. It's just what you do, isn't it? To pay the rent, isn't that?
No, they're all also you'll endear yourself to the community,
right,
and to the locals, and they'll say, "Well, these trees have been ignored by the council for the last 10 years, and they're overhanging the roads." Or, I don't know. But then they might say, "Well, we'll do that."
Let's see how it plays out in Crowborough. I'm sure there would be some, but then of course we'd have to check that their bricklaying was absolutely sound, so that, or even trimming the trees. So I wonder whether the supervision. But Bruce, it's an idea. Let's file it as an idea. Thank you, Elaine in Enfield. Elaine in Enfield, your view on this. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Yes.
I just want to say these people are all illegal. They come in illegally.
Yes.
Why are they not locked up? They're allowed free access. They can go missing. We do nothing about it. They should be locked up. Simple.
Are not allowed, like, going into jail, you mean?
If you put them in an army camp and that, surround it with a fencing so they cannot get out.
Right. But bear in mind, many of them then successfully apply for asylum. You're treating them as criminals.
They are criminals. They've come in illegally.
Well, there's no legal right, no legal route, I'm sorry. There's no legal route for them.
Well, tough luck. We cannot open our doors to the world.
All right. Well, you are not alone in those sort of sentiments. Elaine, thank you. Well, there's the first two reactions. Get them working and don't even pay them, or lock them up. We'll take more views, your views on that. Now, this is my last time that I'll be speaking with you this year. Well, hopefully I'll speak to you in the new year. Last time I'll be speaking with you. So we thought it'd be a good idea to remind you some of the major stories as you go around this year and you sit at your holiday tables, whether it's for Christmas or whatever you're celebrating. Oh, wasn't it incredible what happened to Donald Trump? What about that? What about that story? What about the boats? Well, first, let's start with one that's even front page news today.
More now on that breaking news from the UK, with the King officially stripping titles and honours from Prince Andrew.
And we have breaking news from the UK. Buckingham Palace says King Charles will strip his younger brother Andrew of his titles and honours and force him out of his home.
Right now to an unprecedented move from the King of the UK as he strips his brother Andrew of all titles, including Prince.
Yes, it's news that went around the world. Seven News Australia, CBC News from Canada, and NBC News in the United States. That was, of course, King Charles issuing letters patent, as they're called, and royal warrants that removed the style His Royal Highness and the title Prince have confirmed his removal from the role of the peerage. From this point, he's now known simply as Andrew Mountbatten Windsor. This is due to renewed scrutiny around Andrew and his involvement with convicted child sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. And, of course, that is the story that continues to, in journalistic terms, deliver. Because you'll know the weekend we saw pictures of the disgraced former prince lying across the laps of a number of what would appear to be young women, certainly with his face very close to the naked legs of one of those young women. And it goes on today with the front page of The Sun. I held this one back for you. Andrew Mountbatten Windsor has had his gun licence revoked in the latest blow to the ex-prince. He is a keen huntsman. There are photographs of him. He used to enjoy those post-Christmas shoots. He sent a valet to discuss this. Obviously he got nowhere because he has surrendered his license. So we're asking, There are going to be six main stories, and I've done with this with you before. If you had to produce a review for a newspaper or a magazine, what would be the front page picture that would open the whole annual review? What is the most powerful image? We'll be telling you about the boats crisis, we'll be telling you about Rachel Reeves, we'll be telling you about the Middle East. But if you think Prince Andrew, and we're going to do a sort of rough voting system, if you could text or email a vote, we've got one of the teams standing by with charts and everything else, and abacuses, whatever it might be. So if you think you would want on the front page of the review of the year a photograph of Prince Andrew, and the one I would use, by the way, is him riding his horse in the rain last week, all on his own in Windsor Park, when his daughters were having a Christmas celebration with the King, and he was riding a horse in the deluge in the rain in Windsor Park, looking grumpy. That's got to be one of the pictures of the year. If that would be yours, do let me know. Now, coming up after the news, he's Reform UK's deputy leader, Richard Tye, speaking in September about the crisis in provision of children with SEND, or special education needs or disabilities.
SEND is in crisis. The growth in numbers and the cost of that provision and the cost of transport.
And we'll be looking at that as it comes under fresh attack from a government minister. That's later in the show. 7.30 now, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrara, on LBC News Time, Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly push for all forces in England and Wales to stop recording non-crime hate incidents in the new year. Officials are set to meet with the Home Secretary in January and warn that logging them is diverting from fighting crime. Russia has carried out a fresh wave of drone attacks on Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, overnight. It follows a weekend of peace talks where Ukrainian and Russian envoys met separately with their American counterparts. And the Met Office says 2025 is on course to be the hottest year ever recorded in the UK. Experts say the average annual temperature is currently well ahead the previous record set in 2022. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the country today. Some outbreaks of rain in the west. A high of 10 degrees.
On the latest episode of The Newsagents,
we talk about Turning Point US's annual conference, where MAGA appears to be eating itself. And are we heading back into the EU's customs union?
Get the latest episode of The Newsagents with Emily Maitlis, John Sopel and Lewis Goodall. Listen or watch on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
When your favourite celebs strut their stuff, when the underdog rises to the occasion, when you can't believe the judges' scores.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Wish I could pass a doughboy like that.
Well, for starters, you could pass a dough's bickies.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels, so you can enjoy every twist and turn of your favourite reality show. Search TV licence together.
Do it for your wife, who told you to pick up bread, but instead you picked up Fred, your grandson, again. And now your daughter is calling because he missed football. That's the fourth time this month. You can wave his future career goodbye. If you don't do it for you, do it for your wife and little Freddy.
New In, the latest custom-fit rechargeable hearing devices. Discreet, comfortable and smart enough to help you catch every moment. Book a free hearing test at bootshearingcare.com. T's and C's apply.
Merry Christmas, my love.
Merry Christmas, Mum.
Merry Christmas, Nanny.
Happy New Year!
From the UK's first mobile phone call to the first text, we've been connecting you at Christmas since 1984 on Vodafone, the nation's network. The nation's network, Vodafone UK, supporting the nation since 1984. Learn more at vodafone.co.uk/TNN.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7.33, let's dive into the world of business. Joined by Kathleen Brooks, financial analyst and research director at the trading platform XTB, and making front page news, Larry Ellison. What's the deal? Morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Nick. Yes, Larry Ellison has agreed essentially a backstop of $40 billion of equity financing. This is for Paramount's bid for Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers has put itself up for sale. There's a bit of a bidding war going on between Netflix and Paramount. Now, you might wonder, why is Larry Ellison getting involved? Well, it's because Paramount's owned by Ellison's son, David. Oh. So it's a personal guarantee of absolutely epic proportions. And and designed, obviously, to sway Warner Brothers away from Netflix, because Warner Brothers have actually recommended Netflix to their shareholders. So vote for that one, not for Paramount. But, you know, Nepo Baby, we've been talking a lot about that this year. I feel like that's been a real theme this year. And I just think this move could make Warner Brothers maybe hate David Ellison just a little bit more on that Paramount bid, would be my view.
When do you imagine this deal? And my goodness me, it's been going through the motions, hasn't it? When do you think this might actually be concluded, Kathleen?
It could be anything. I think it could be up to kind of a year and a half.
Really? As long as that? Wow.
Yes. Well, because they could potentially announce, if the shareholders vote for Netflix, then doesn't matter what Larry Ellison guarantees, they're going to go with Netflix. But the regulators, that's the big thing. Obviously, President Trump, Larry Ellison is a big fan and a big supporter of President Trump. Mm. President Trump has said that he thinks there could be regulatory hurdles with the Netflix deal, unsurprisingly. But it's going to be a long one, whichever happens. You know, Warner Brothers have they're huge, they have a fantastic back catalogue. Whoever gets it will be quite lucky, I think.
All right, let's move to other stories. And we've known history shows us that at times of crisis or conflict or fear, there's a rush to gold, and that's happening again, isn't it, Kathleen?
It sure is. I mean, it's been one of the strongest performing assets this year. And yet, just yesterday, Nick, it rose to a fresh record high. So it's now above $4,400 per ounce.
Good God.
So it's absolutely huge. But yes, it does trade during times of unease. So we've got some geopolitical issues going on with the US and Venezuela. Obviously, we've still got Russia in the mix. You've also got, you know, a weakening US dollar, because obviously gold is priced in dollars. That means you pay more when the dollar is weakening. Concerns about inflation, that's another big cause for this gold rush that we've seen in 2025. But it's one of the strongest performing assets. It's outperformed equities this year.
And I understand that the cost of the famous Gordon Brown sell-off is now £40 billion because he sold
it. I know. He sold at the low.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's more Del Boy than Chancellor, I think, at times, old Gordon Brown, isn't he?
That was not his biggest move. Yeah, best move. Definitely not.
Indeed. What are Uber and Lyft getting together for?
They're getting together to bring driverless taxis to our streets with Baidu. So that's the Chinese robo-taxi firm. And that could be literally from this spring. We're not just going to be able to hail these riderless taxis straight away. They've still got to persuade the regulators, but we could see them on our streets from the spring, because they're going to go through a testing phase. And then, you know, the plan is scale up from there. But the interesting thing is, Nick, will we actually use them? Because 60% of British respondents in a recent YouGov survey said that they wouldn't be comfortable with driverless taxis. I think I'd be okay with it, but I might be in the 40%.
Mind you, I get on the DLR a lot because it's in the area I live, and I'm a driver on that, so you're probably right.
Exactly.
Lastly, my favourite, well, I have two favourites, one of which is purple and is chocolatey and has a nut in the middle. And before I had my teeth done, and I now don't want all my fillings pulled out, there's one that's sort of in silk gold paper, rather, and is about the size of a Tuppenny coin. Those are my favourite quality streets. What's yours, and why are we talking about those chocolates?
Well, one of yours doesn't exist anymore. In its original form, the purple one. Yeah, the purple hazelnut.
Yes, that's what it's in
Eclair,
it.
I think it was called.
Has that gone?
Hazelnut caramel or something. I believe that has gone, yes. I like the little green triangles.
Oh, yeah,
the
they're good. Things. Yeah, that's probably third for me. Yeah, yeah. Has that ghastly orange cream gone? That was horrible.
No, that's there.
Why does it? No one eats the orange
there.
Cream. Now, why are we
or
talking
maybe
so
changed
why,
it.
Why are we yakking about Quality Street?
Yeah, because would you believe shrinkflation has been very noticeable in College Street. Back in 1980, they were 2.5 kilograms. So a tin was 2.5 kilograms. And that has shrunk to a fifth today. Those little plastic tins are now 650 grams. So it's not just that they go quicker, that everyone's greedier. It's that you actually do need more of them to get back to the size they were in our childhoods. But, you know, they're more expensive.
I think our childhood was some years apart, but go on, Kathleen.
Sorry. they were 2.5 kilograms in the year I was born, Nick. They were a lot more expensive in 1980, though. So they were about £30 in today's money. But the cheap plastic has replaced those those lovely tins. Nestle obviously blames the cost of chocolate, but I don't know if we're going to bring out little violins for them, to be honest.
So it's more inequality street as we look back over the years. Kathleen, have a good one. I won't talk to you beforehand. Thanks for all your input. Kathleen Brooks, financial analyst and research director at the trading platform XTB 739. Now, we open the show with a report from Crowborough, because it is thought within weeks 540 asylum seekers will be visited upon that sleepy part of Sussex. Of course, the same could be coming the way of you if you live anywhere near Inverness. Rudy's in Bristol on this. Rudy, your reaction. Good morning. They're angry down in Sussex.
Well, I think that anyone that comes in illegally should never have the right to stay, because they've broken the law, and it shows that they have no regard for any law.
How do they get here legally?
Well, I'll ask you this question, right? Why would they pay £6,000 to come over on a boat and risk their life when they can pay €60 on a plane and come here and do it that way?
The aircraft won't take them if they don't have the visas, the right to land in the United Kingdom.
Listen, the only reason why they go on the boat is because they don't have to prove who they are. As soon as they go on a plane, they know who they are. Rudy, you've
brilliantly illustrated why the trade is so lucrative, and it is a trade in human lives, and some people don't survive. If you could just pay €60 or $60, whatever, but you can't because the airline won't take you. It's just if you tried to get on a plane, say you want to go to a plane this afternoon to the United States, and you haven't got your ESTA and your visa, they won't take you, Rudy.
But the airline would take you if you got your documents. And the second thing is this. Why are we sending boats back to France here? Why are we not destroying them? Because France is in on the act. I don't know if you knew, but recently they did an undercover sting with another radio station that proved that the police were actually escorting them to the beaches.
I hear your anger. I think that is in part why Reform UK has had such a bumper year. I'd say again, you wouldn't be able to get on the planes in many countries without the necessary paperwork. But Rudy, I always enjoy speaking with you. Have yourself a good year. Thank you. 7:41 is the time. Now, this is my, as I've said before, this is my last show of the year, and we're identifying the major stories and major events and asking you, remember, a lot of support, by the way, for the idea that Prince Andrew would effectively be the front cover of our review if we were putting a magazine together. We'll be telling other stories, but let's look at the government. Labour started the year after just 6 months in office, but already flagging in the polls. And the past 12 months have seen U-turns, resignations, and the return of President Trump. But how has Sir Keir Starmer fared? LBC's Henry Riley looks back at the past year of Keir.
This year, we will show that Britain can change our country. Politics can be a force for good.
At the start of the year, a reset, with the Prime Minister and his party beginning to slide in the polls. And since then, despite some successes, things have largely gone only one way. A Treasury Minister resigning over corruption allegations, the Homelessness Minister over claims she evicted tenants, and then there was the Deputy Prime Minister, Angela Rayner's living arrangements.
Well, I made a mistake based upon the advice that I relied upon. That I received at the time.
Elsewhere, in February, the silver-tongued Lord Mandelson was appointed as the US ambassador.
Who need to benefit from a bigger and better international trading system.
Thank you very much. It was beautifully stated. What a beautiful accent. I'd like to have that accent. Thank you.
My mother would be proud.
Though the Prince of Darkness's stay at Massachusetts Avenue was short-lived over his friendship with the convicted paedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
I fell for his lies. I fell... and accepted assurances that he had given me about his indictment, his original criminal case.
Nonetheless, the PM's relationship with the president was widely praised.
He was working hard, I'll tell you that. He earned whatever the hell they pay him over there.
I'm very impressed with him and very impressed with his wife. I must say, she's a beautiful, great woman.
And I second that.
Back home, he conceded on winter fuel and was damaged by a rebellion on welfare.
There are alternative, more compassionate ways to balance the books.
There are decisions made in this house that stay with you for the rest of your life. This is one of them.
Suspending four MPs. He's also had speeches which haven't landed.
We risk becoming an island of strangers. Not a nation that walks forward together.
And Sir Keir's Chancellor has also been in the spotlight.
She looks absolutely miserable. She is a human shield
for his incompetence.
Rachel Reeves visibly upset in the Commons. Elsewhere, she was criticised for failing to obtain the necessary licence as a landlord and for overseeing £26 billion worth of tax rises.
And today, I will maintain all income tax and equivalent national insurance thresholds at their current level for a further 3 years from 2028.
We've seen the two-child benefit cap scrapped, NHS England abolished, and significant moves internationally.
Today, we join over 150 countries who recognise a Palestinian state also.
This year saw devastating local election results and the loss of the safe Runcorn and Helsby seats to Reform.
A narrow margin, 6 votes. How might that have been influenced if the Prime Minister had actually gone to Runcorn?
Well, we might have won by 600. I don't know.
You mentioned Mr Farage 5 times, almost as much as you did your late father. You are mildly obsessed, aren't
no,
you?
No, not at all. There is a political divide, the like of which we have not seen in this country.
And that electoral threat saw a shift in the debate this year, with new measures from the tough-talking Home Secretary, Shabana Mahmood.
Unlike him, unfortunately, I am the one that is regularly called a and told to go back home. It is I who...
And as the year draws to a close and we approach 18 months of Sir Keir Starmer at the helm, with faltering polling and whispers of a leadership challenge, Sir Keir's team now hope a new Substack and TikTok account could help get the message across.
How did you get to the end that quickly? Because when I last saw you, you were here.
Six, seven.
You know children get into trouble today,
Natty Maskell. Oh, do they? Sorry about that.
No, it's absolutely fine. It's fine.
I didn't start it, miss.
Sir Keir Starmer at that primary school in Peterborough, dobbing in a six-year-old for playing sixes and sevens. That's what you want to see in a prime minister, isn't it? And after a schoolgirl, pretty much at sixes and sevens himself. He's not alone. We're also going to look back, and Henry Riley reporting. We'll also be looking back at the times ministers have been unable to answer fairly simple questions. Here's then Home Secretary Yvette Cooper with me in July. Can you tell me the numbers will decline this time next year?
Well, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to get those boat numbers coming down. We need to, and no one should be making those boat crossings. So that is
what we need to do, Home Secretary, yes, but will we do? Will the numbers be declining this time next year?
It is, of course, what we are aiming to do.
Oh, no, Minister. More on that later in the hour. 7:46, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly push for forces in England and Wales to stop recording non-crime hate incidents in the new year. A man is due to appear in court in Swindon, charged with 56 offences against his former wife. And people who've grown up in care will be able to get free medicine and dental services until their 25th birthday. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain in the west, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. It's slow on the M25 clockwise. The exit slip road at junction 14 for Heathrow is closed because of an accident. They're accusing Canary Wharf on Trafalgar Way in both directions between Preston's Road and Carter Street. That's because of people heading to and from Billingsgate Market. There's only one Woolwich ferry running because of technical problems. On the trains, Eurostar have delays of up to half an hour at St Pancras after engineering works overran. Southern and Gatwick Express, they're running a reduced service at Victoria because of festive timetable changes. South Western Railway, they're running a reduced service between Waterloo and Exeter St David's because of a shortage of trains. Greater Anglia have no service between Broxbourne and Hertford East, and there's disruption to a number of TfL bus routes in South West, West and North West London because of a strike.
This is LBC.
At Morrison's, our fresh British Christmas veg is just 5p with your more card. That's just 5p for a kilo of carrots, 500 gram packs of parsnips or sprouts, or a whole Swede. Morrison's, making more of Christmas. Majority of stores and online excludes Morrison's daily more card at required 18 plus without card, 62p to £1 max 6 of each per customer in store, max 2 of each online, ends 26th of December.
This is LBC. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. Download it now from your app store.
When your favourite celebs strut their stuff. When the underdog rises to the occasion. When you can't believe the judges' scores.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Wish I could pass a dobe like that.
Well, for starters, you could pass a doze bickies.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels. So you can enjoy every twist and turn of your favourite reality show. Search TV licence together.
Do it for your wife,
who told you to pick up bread, but instead you picked up Fred, your grandson, again. And now your daughter is calling because he missed football. That's the fourth time this month. You can wave his future career goodbye. If you don't do it for you, do it for your wife and little Freddy.
New In, the latest custom-fit rechargeable hearing devices. Discreet, comfortable, and smart enough to help you catch every moment. Book a free hearing test at bootshearingcare.com. T's and C's apply.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the content production industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Daisy, a technical content production student in year 12.
We've already learned how to create content and work with employers in the media industry. I love working in the studio, making my own podcast, and can't wait to start my 45-day work placement next term.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
This Christmas, McDonald's and the Elf on the Shelf are bringing festive tasks to your little ones, like writing a Christmas card for your postie.
Thank you. You're one happy helper.
Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 30th of December, from 11 a.m. Includes one pre-selected book or toy, while stocks last. Subject to availability, fair ordering policy applies.
Brands that use radio are 49% more likely to get noticed. Amplify your advertising at radiocentre.org. Assuming you want to get noticed.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060973.
7:50. Just remember, we're taking our nominations. If we were making a magazine, the review of the year, what would be the front page picture? Neil says the front page has to be the Chancellor crying in Parliament. That was a low moment. We had to offer a sympathy there. Anthony in Kent says it has to be, oh, it's the one I suggested, Prince Andrew on his horse. Oh, someone else in Kent, Piers in Kent, says it has to be Donald Trump when he held up that chart of tariffs. It looked like a bad version of the Eurovision Song Contest. All right, by the end of the show, we'll take all your suggestions and decide which it should be on the front cover. Now, let's go to other matters. And tens of thousands of care leavers will receive free prescriptions, dental and eye care services up to the age of 25. These are government changes that are being introduced. And we can get more details now from Labour MP and Minister for Children and Families, Josh McAllister. Good to have you on. Can you give us a few more details on exactly who's going to be the recipients here? Morning to you.
Morning, Nick. Care experienced young people face some of the worst health inequalities in the country. This is something I've worked on for a long time. I was a secondary school teacher working with care leavers, children in care, then did a review for the last government. And earlier this year, I was asked by the health secretary to look at how the NHS could step up and do more to narrow some of those health inequalities. One of the things that we're announcing today is that from next year, care leavers, so young people that have grown up in care, foster care or children's homes, who've hit 18, will now get free prescriptions, free eye checks and free NHS dentistry, which removes some pretty practical obstacles that stand between them and having good health. We've also got some other measures to make sure the NHS does more as an employer for those care experienced young people. And finally, on mental health, there's huge and really worrying weights for care experienced young people. We're going to move some mental health services to be more integrated with family support so that there's no waits. We're going to test that, and if it works, and I think it will, we'll look to roll it out further.
Minister, can you give my listeners some examples of where people are disadvantaged? Is it they can't get any dental care, they're not able to get emotional health support? What exactly, some examples of what we're talking about?
So the big statistic, and then I'll give a couple of examples, is care experienced adults. So an adult who's grown up in care is 70% more likely to die prematurely, which is it's a really shocking statistic. Now, I think some of that is to do with lack of practical support, but it's also a reflection of what life is like for young people if they've grown up in the care of a system and not in the care of a family, and the long-lasting effect of that, that kind of loneliness, the isolation, the physical impact of early childhood neglect. So we need to do a lot to improve it. But the stories that I've heard over the recent years are young people who are in crisis. They're maybe 16, 17 or 18, a young adult, and they've been waiting for mental health support for a long time and are in a queue. And services will often look at that young person and say, you're not in a permanent address. You've got not only a mental health issue, but also an addiction issue. And so your life's a bit too complicated for us as a service right now to help. Now, that's just not acceptable. And it means that if you're in care, you're more likely to be rejected than someone in the general population for mental health support. And then finally, just on prescriptions and NHS supports, the free things that we're extending for care leavers. If you're 19 or 20 and you're really scraping by financially and you need a prescription to get better and you don't have the money to pay for it, you won't. And these are young people that don't have parents to fall back on very often, or a family to fall back on. And that's why the state is stepping up and making some really welcome changes.
OK, what's the cost of this going to be, Minister?
Over the next 3 years, we think it'll be about £50 million. It slightly depends on take-up. That builds on other investment that we're making in mental health services and family support as well.
When is it effectively online, available? And anyone listening who perhaps thinks they are needed, or they have a member of their family or a friend, how can they avail themselves of this? What do they need to do, Minister?
We'll be switching this on next year, by the end of 2026. At the very latest.
So it's some ways out then, possibly?
Well, next year's only a week away, but it'll be from some point in 2026. We're just working out the details of exactly when
But it won't be January, unfortunately, then, I sense.
It won't be January. But if you're a young person in care or you're leaving care, you've got right to advocacy support, and there's brilliant websites. If you just Google around, you'll be able to get support. And, of course, your local authority should be there to make sure that you're getting access to these things as well.
All right, final question. As Minister for Children, I wonder if I can get your view on a row involving one of your colleagues, Georgia Gould, the Education Minister. She's said that Reform UK chiefs are blaming parents for failures in the SEND, Special Education Needs and Disabilities. I know you'll know, but that's for my listeners, in the SEND system. Reform, they are saying that there is a crisis when it comes to the overdiagnosis of SEND, driven by incentives encouraging families to pursue diagnoses. Who's right here, Minister?
Well, obviously my colleague Georgia is right, but what we're doing here, there's a good contrast, right? We announced a couple of weeks ago that Peter Fonagy, a clinician with deep expertise, is looking at what we're calling a prevalence review. He's looking at why we've got areas of the country where we've got really high rates of diagnosis and areas where we've got very low rates of diagnosis, to come to a scientific answer on this question. And we know that families at the moment are really struggling when they're worried about their children not having the support in school. Contrast that with Reform, who literally just shoot from the hip. There's no plan. It's all fairly insulting, and that's the contrast that George has been drawing people's attention to.
But on the financial side, surely Reform are onto something. Are you aware of what the government spending is in England on pupils with high needs?
I don't have right in front of me the high needs spending, but it's a lot, and it's going up a lot as well.
It's a lot. It's £12 billion. It's gone up 66% in less than a decade. Now, I'm not saying there aren't deserving causes. There will be, but something's not right here, Minister, and Reform is surely right to point this out.
So Reform haven't pointed it out to us. We know that something's not right with this, which is why we're bringing forward a white paper early in the new year. We have made this a top priority in the department. So one of the DfE, the Department for Education's top priorities this year and going into the new year, is coming up with the plan to fix special educational needs. I was part of the team that was announcing just 2 weeks ago £3 billion of capital investment to create new special places over the coming years. So we know this is a problem. You know, we've got members of parliament who are pretty plugged into their communities. It's in a crisis state, the SEND system. We are bringing forward actual proposals to fix it. I'd love to hear on the LBC at some point in the near future what Reform's plan is to actually fix the SEND system, because it does
stay tuned.
Fixing.
I'm going to be talking about it after 8, and I think I've got a senior member of Reform UK, I don't know for certain, joining me. So stay tuned, Minister. Thank you, and I wish you and your family a happy Christmas. Thank you. Josh McAllister, Minister for Children and Families, talking about that initiative to try and put right that balance. Now, it is at around this time, of course, and has been through the year, that's the so-called government round. It's where they put out ministers. And a few times, unfortunately, it's been more a case of, oh no, Minister, than yes, Minister. Just remind listeners where the new crossing is, where it takes off and where it lands.
You'll forgive me, I can't recall
you,
the
you
exact
don't know,
landing
so
zones.
So the crossing that you're talking about, you don't know where it is?
Well, it's the Lower Thames Crossing,
yes,
which has been in planning for many, many years.
Can you say, read my lips, no tax rises in the autumn?
Well, what I did yesterday was allocate the money from last year's budget.
Home Secretary, can you tell me the numbers will decline this time next year?
Well, that's exactly what we need to do. We need to get those boat numbers coming down. We need to, and no one should be making those boat crossings. So that is
what we need to do, Home Secretary, but will we do? Will the numbers be declining this time next year?
It is, of course, what we are aiming to do.
Roughly 23,000 people have made the channel crossing so far on those dinghies. How many have had interviews from Border Force or police officers to try and gain any intelligence they might have about how these networks work?
Oh, there's a lot of interviews.
As you recall from the LBC story, there was virtually zero interviews. Economic Secretary of the Treasury Emma Reynolds in June unable to answer the basic questions like, where is the crossing? Chancellor Rachel Reeves unable to tell me whether she'd raise taxes. That went well. Then Home Secretary Yvette Cooper unable to tell me when boat crossing numbers would come down in July. And then Foreign Secretary David Lammy. I don't think he really knew what was going on with those interviews. Emma Reynolds is now the Environment Secretary. Rachel Reeves is Chancellor. Yvette Cooper is the Foreign Secretary. David Lammy is the Justice Secretary. Moving the chairs on the Titanic. You can watch a full-length video of those clips along with many, many, many more on LBC's YouTube channel. Coming up after news, the row over Send needs.
The sight of children in classes wearing ear defenders. I'm sorry. This is just insane. It's got to stop.
That's Deputy Leader of Reform UK, Richard Tice. He has apologised for those comments. I want to stress that. But as spending has soared by some 66% in less than 10 years, surely we need to be looking at that. Plus, we continue our review of the year. We're looking at a year of Donald Trump. Those stories and more after the 8 o'clock news on LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 8 o'clock, police leaders are understood to be pushing for the Home Secretary to scrap non-crime hate incidents in the new year. Officers will meet with ministers next month and call for a new common-sense approach instead. Under the plans, officers will only record the most serious antisocial behaviour offences. His Majesty's Chief Inspector of Constabulary, Sir Andy Cook, told LBC in September the system needs to be looked at.
Police are struggling to understand it. The public certainly don't understand it. So the legislation, in my view, and the policy around it needs to change. People do want to see police officers on the streets. I mean, my annual report is very clear that the police need to focus on the issues that the public see as the real problems, the street crimes, the lawlessness, the lack of visible police presence on the streets. And the police need to get the basics right around this.
A man is due to appear in court in Swindon later, charged with 56 offences against his former wife. Philip Young, who's 49, is accused of drugging and raping Joanne Young over a 13-year period. Five other men have also been charged with sexual offences against 48-year-old Joanne Young, who's waived her right to anonymity. Russia has carried out a fresh wave of drone attacks on Ukraine's capital Kyiv overnight. It follows a weekend of peace talks where Ukrainian and Russian envoys met separately with their American counterparts. The local government secretary, Steve Reid, has written to council leaders in England telling them not to introduce four-day working weeks. South Cambridgeshire District Council adopted the system earlier this year, claiming it helped to recruit and retain staff. But Mr. Reid has warned that widespread implementation will be considered an indicator of failure in council's duty to deliver improvements. People who've grown up in care will be able to get free medicine and dental services until their 25th birthday. A new pilot scheme will also aim to boost access to mental health support for children in care. The Children's Minister, Josh McAllister, has just told Nick it aims to remove a barrage of health inequalities faced by adult care leavers.
If you're 19 or 20 and you're really scraping by financially and you need a prescription to get better and you don't have the money to pay for it, you won't. And these are young people that don't have parents to fall back on very often, or a family to fall back on. And that's why the state is stepping up.
And the Met Office says 2025 is on course to be the hottest year ever recorded in the UK. Experts say the average annual temperature is currently well ahead the previous record set in 2022. In the city, the FTSE 100 had just reopened at 98.65. It closed down 31 yesterday. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain in western areas with a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Come in. Shoes off.
What's the Wi-Fi?
Am I streaming the new series I'm binging?
Please, can we listen to something that isn't Christmas music?
Can you, search how to defrost a turkey quickly?
Everyone, we're going to video call Auntie Audrey now.
Mom, Joe's talking to telly again.
Can we share a video of the dog in his outfit?
Hosting this Christmas? You need the UK's best broadband technology. EE does more.
Full fiber is the UK's most reliable broadband technology. Ofcom's broadband terminology research, March 2023. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning. 4 minutes after eight on Tuesday, the 23rd of December, coming up in this hour. It's sending costs spiralling. The requirements, spending on pupils with high needs in English schools. I haven't figures for Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland, apologies, but in English schools up 66% in less than 10 years. Reformer saying this needs to be checked. Education Minister says the reformer blaming parents for the failures. We'll look at that in more detail. In other news, the angry man, supposedly the angriest man in Britain, Peter Abbott. It went viral last year when this clip of him screaming at a woman in a Tesco car park a couple of years ago circulated online. He received a suspended sentence for this outburst. And here he is, angry Abbott, angry Peter Abbott, screaming abuse at a mother walking her newborn baby and her dog on a beach promenade in Bournemouth.
No, I'm finished! Excuse me. That is a bylaw. No, the owners have to keep their dogs on a leash. Period!
When you finish,
there's no
I'd be back in the Sun newsroom in the 80s. Well, that was a breach of his suspended sentence. He's now been jailed for 6 weeks. We will continue our review of the year and ask you, what's the front page picture for the magazine we're producing? At the moment, actually, there's a lot of excitement for Donald Trump, but we'll be telling you some of the other stories. And as we say farewell to one famous singer, sadly another has a serious health condition.
At the Copacabana, the hottest spot north of Havana.
Barry Manilow is diagnosed with cancer, but he says he's ready for the fight.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Education Minister Georgia Gould has been speaking with one newspaper, The Daily Mirror. She says Reform UK are blaming parents for failures in the system. She goes on to say that reformers suggesting that children are being naughty. I've seen comments about overdiagnosis, comments about parents being the issue, about these being just naughty children, she said. And she goes on, I think that when I speak to parents and young people, those comments have a real-world impact for how they feel about themselves and their communities, how children feel with their sense of identity and belonging at school. I completely reject the idea this is something that parents are doing wrong. Well, she was referring in part to some of the comments made by Deputy Leader of Reform UK, Richard Tice.
There are many children who need extra provision, but I regret to say that there are some parents who are using and abusing the system, and we have to be honest about that.
You've got to the mad situation now where children who don't have any form of label are now starting to feel left out. They're feeling that, in inverted commas, they're the normal minority. This is insane. The sight of children in classes wearing ear defenders. I'm sorry. This is just insane. It's got to stop.
It's important to remind you that subsequently Mr. Tice said the first word I want to say is sorry. We never stop learning in life, and what that told us is that everybody is unhappy, frustrated, angry, furious about what's going on in the SEND system. The Deputy Leader of Reform UK, Richard Tice, joins me now. It's now at £12 billion, up 66% from 9 years ago. What needs to be done, Mr. Tice? Good morning.
Good morning, yes. The numbers with EHCPs have almost trebled in a decade. And look, the issue here is the Well-Intentioned Act in 2014 has created a very adversarial relationship between parents and between councils and schools, which is tragically not working for the people most in need, which are you know, which are young people, children with special educational needs. And the outcomes have not improved and in many cases have actually got worse despite the huge extra investment. And so the children are not better off and the taxpayer is not better off. And the winners out of this are people like some of the taxi companies who are sometimes charging £20,000-£30,000 a year for annual contracts to take children to schools, and also private equity firms who are now making vast, vast profits running specialist schools, but not delivering better outcomes for the children most in need. And in a sense, everybody's a loser in terms of the young people, and that's what's got to change.
In the Mirror today, Education Minister Georgia Gould claims that you are blaming parents for the failures. What would you say to her?
Well, as I've just explained, the failure is in the 2014 Act, and what we're saying is you've got to remove that adversarial relationship. We've created an expert working group under the leadership of Dame Andrea Jenkins. We've got a fantastic group of professors, autism experts, current heads, former heads in this area, so that we can put forward some interim recommendations in the spring alongside the timing of the government's much delayed white paper, and then continue to work. Because actually we should try and make these improvements on a cross-party basis, and I think that we can deliver much better outcomes for the most children in need at a cost equal or lower than the current money being spent.
About 20 minutes ago, I was speaking with the Minister for Children and Families, Josh McAllister. He talked about them being a review in the new year as to these needs, and they admitting that the costs have to be checked. But he also said this.
We know this is a problem. You know, we've got members of parliament who are pretty plugged into their communities. It's in a crisis state, the SEND system. We are bringing forward actual proposals to fix it. I'd love to hear on LBC at some point in the near future what reforms plan is to actually fix the SEND system.
I know in part you've touched on that, but any other more concrete proposals you can put down, Mr. Tice?
Well, for example, many experts say you don't need to do EHCPs every year at a cost of £2,000 to £4,000 per EHCP. That could be done every key stage. That's one idea. We need more small specialist schools in closer to homes. I said at my recent press conference when I gave that apology, for example, you've got many redundant or underused churches. What a fantastic way for the Church of England to show great leadership by using some of those churches during the week. I've seen it in one specific church, which has turned into a school 5 days a week. There's all sorts of things that we need to look at, I think, on a constructive cross-party basis. We're going to get stuck in with a fantastic working group, and we're going to help lead the way. And the government, you know, they need to get their white paper out. It's about a year delayed. We welcome it. The sooner the better, alongside our own proposals.
Richard Tice is Deputy Leader of Reform UK. Thank you for that, and wish you happy Christmas, and thanks for appearing on the show through the past year. 11 after 8. Listening, Gaz Hitchin, who's co-presenter of the Autism Dadcast. Good to have you on, Mr. Hitchin. Just to remind the listeners, what is the Autism Dadcast about in a couple of sentences? Morning.
Hey, Nick. A couple of sentences. Essentially, it's just a place where dads and mums can come and basically speak to other parents in the community about their children and just kind of share stories and realise they're not alone in everything they're dealing with.
As this row goes on between senior politicians, what's the reality in the ground and the provision of services that are needed for those with these conditions?
Well, I think everybody in the community, and we keep calling it a community, that's what it is, they would agree reform is definitely needed. No one's going to argue that point. But obviously some of the things that have been said by some members of the Reform Party, and, you know, Richard Tice just said he'd apologise for it, they're quite worrying in the narrative it builds. Essentially, I think anyone that's going to be making any decisions on how this reform is done, they need to have an understanding of what it's like for these parents. They need to sit in an EHCP when it's being given out, so they can actually understand what these parents and children are going through. There's a lot of talk of some of these parents trying to game the system, and that absolutely is not what is going on.
Take us through what happens in that EHCP then meeting, if you would, Gaz.
Yeah, of course. It's a very long and drawn out process, which again is something that kind of points out why you wouldn't get one unless you desperately needed it. It's a long process. A lot of NHS appointments to start with. If you're lucky to get a referral, you'll get one. And then starts this long, drawn-out process of seeing specialists. It can take years. And then ultimately, it comes down to this final appointment where you have to sit there and hear what is... It's strange. It's some you wait for a diagnosis for years, but then when you get it, it's still heart-wrenching. And a lot of parents don't get what they were after, even though their child needs it. These are kind of parents that we talk about being in a bit of a grey zone. My child, his needs are so profound that he kind of went through pretty easily. He got everything he needed. Oh. A lot of children, they're in this grey zone where it's not quite so obvious, and they can sometimes end up in a mainstream school years down the line with absolutely no help at all. And that's, for me, where this new white paper that's supposed to be coming out, there was rumours... Go on.
I was going to ask, if you don't mind me asking, what sort of school is your six-year-old able to attend what I'm going to call a regular school?
No, he is at a mainstream school. As I say, his needs are so profound. He is at a specialist school.
And how far geographically is that from where you live, Gaz?
It's about a half hour drive.
Oh, okay, but that's manageable, though.
It's manageable, but kind of to Mr. Tice's point a minute ago, we are on the outskirts of Shrewsbury. He gets transport in. He gets picked up at about 7:30 in the morning, right, to get to school for kind of 8:30, 9:15.
Right. You're not able to take him yourself or your wife or partner?
No, just because of work. And in all honesty, it actually works out really well. This transport is able to pick up. It's not a taxi. It's kind of a minibus that goes around the area, picks up several kids and brings them all in. So it's actually quite efficient.
And lastly, what are the main... On the Autism Dad cast, you're the co-presenter, what are the main concerns that are expressed by mums and dads on that?
EHCPs, without a doubt.
Is it? Yeah. What the difficulty of obtaining?
The difficulty of getting them, that and disability living allowance. A lot of these parents, they can't work because they have the child to look after and kind of getting the benefits that they absolutely do need, trying to get that. And it's a nightmare. The paperwork is insane.
Enjoyed our conversation. It's the Autism Dadcast. Best wishes to you and, of course, your family for Christmas. Your six-year-old lad, Gaz Hitchin, is the co-presenter. Thank you for that. The realities of living with children, but the harsh financial reality of a 66% jump in less than a decade, and those costs are only going to go one way. Surely, and this is a small r, reform, a small r, not capital, reform is needed here, isn't it? Coming up after the news, we'll continue our review of the year. That one in, one out, and general attempts to try and stop the boats. And also, we talked about Chris Rea. That was rather grave news in the first hour. Fortunately, he's with us.
You know I can't smile without you. I can't smile without you.
But another shock in the showbiz world yesterday is Barry Manilow was diagnosed with cancer. He says he's ready for the fight. We'll have more on that later in the hour. It's 8:16, LBC News headlines. Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly push for forces in England and Wales to stop recording non-crime hate incidents in the new year. A man is due to appear in court in Swindon, charged with 56 offences against his former wife. And people who've grown up in care will be able to get free medicine and dental services until their 25th birthday. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain in the west, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. There are long delays on the M25 clockwise because of an accident that's now on the hard shoulder between Junction 14 for Heathrow and Junction 15 for the M4. Also on the M25 clockwise, the exit slip road at Junction 14 for Heathrow is closed because of a separate accident, so that's adding to the delays. On the trains, Eurostar have delays of up to half an hour at St Pancras after engineering works overran. Southern and Gatwick Express are running a reduced service at Victoria because of festive timetable changes. South Eastern, they're running to a Saturday timetable today and tomorrow. South Western Railway are running a reduced service between Waterloo and Exeter St David's because of a shortage of trains. And there's disruption to a number of TfL bus routes in South West, West and North West London. That's because of a strike.
This is LBC.
Come in. Shoes off.
What's the Wi-Fi?
Most in the new series I'm binging.
Please, can we listen to something that isn't Christmas music?
Can you,
search out a defrosted turkey quicker.
Everyone, we're going to video call Auntie Audrey now.
Mom, Joe's talking to telly again.
Can we share a video of the dog in his outfit?
Hosting this Christmas? You need the UK's best broadband technology. EE does more.
Full fibre is the UK's most reliable broadband technology. Ofcom's broadband terminology research, March 2023. Verify at ee.co.uk/claims.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £35 million.
It'll have you dancing like nobody's watching. Yeah, baby. Just make sure nobody is watching. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
With Lidl Plus, there's no need to stress to impress this Christmas. Get 15% off deluxe chilled party food, like golden prawn toasties with ponzu dip, scrumptious paella bites, and delicious vegetable dim sum. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only, subject to availability. Selected stores terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/lbtv. Ends 31st of the 12th.
Do it for your wife, who told you to pick up bread, but instead you picked up Fred, your grandson, again. And now your daughter is calling because he missed football. That's the fourth time this month. You can wave his future career goodbye. If you don't do it for you, do it for your wife and little Freddy.
New In, the latest custom-fit rechargeable hearing devices. Discreet, comfortable and smart enough to help you catch every moment. Book a free hearing test at bootshearingcare.com. T's and C's apply.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Realise I haven't done enough of the emails, texts and everything that you're sending in. Almost 20 minutes after eight, let me just do some of those. Mike in Crawley on the idea of housing asylum seekers, appreciating the objections of the local populace. The government is simply dealing with the symptoms and not the condition. Housing in hotels is viewed as costly, unfairly preferential compared to the indigenous homeless. Asking you what you think should be the front page of the magazine that we are metaphorically putting together an annual review. Elizabeth says it has to be crying Rachel. We're all crying now about her diabolical choices for the economy. Actually, she's in the lead at the moment. There's very distressing pictures of Rachel, a crying Chancellor, but she is in the lead, and we'll give you more stories to consider. And this comes in from Mike in South Moulton, Devon. It would be great if you could highlight some of Labour's achievements this year instead of just going on about their perceived failures. It's so negative. Mike, send me a lip. What are they? We've got the economy in growth in minus growth, unemployment up, businesses closing and the pound down. I mean, sorry, I'm clearly missing something. And we're not going to hit our house building target and education standards have slipped. So remind me. That's not a lot, is it? Rebecca's in Greenwich. Why is the send conversation so relevant to you? Good morning.
Morning. So I have a daughter who has a physical disability,
right,
which we knew about from before she was born. She's 4.5 now. We're currently going through the EHCP application process with her school.
How long has that been running? And how long has that been going on for?
So we put her into the local authority school for nursery. So the year before she was in, you know, formal legal, they need to be in school age,
right,
because we wanted to get the ball rolling. And actually, she's a term into reception and we still aren't there.
They do haven't, you have any
even
sense?
Sent it off yet.
Oh, God.
My frustration, and that's because it's a massive piece of work. I'm also a social worker by trade, so I appreciate everything the school are doing. In the meantime, they're meeting her needs beautifully. They've provided her with a one-to-one, which she needs, because she's in a mainstream school and she should be in a mainstream school.
Mm.
But one of my overriding frustrations about this narrative from Reform is it's entirely focused on the neurodiverse community who, for the record, I think the things that have been said are absolutely hideous. And having also worked in schools, there are children who are struggling left, right and centre. And if they need to wear ear defenders, they should be allowed to wear ear defenders.
He has apologised. I'm not, by the way, I'm not making
that
light of his comments, but we do need to just say he has apologised. On you go. Yep.
But I just think it's, you know, if there are people who are reaching the threshold whereby they need an EHCP for their neurodiverse children, I can tell you from being on the side of this where my child has a physical disability which is never going to change or improve, the threshold is so high that I would argue those children absolutely need it. And the idea that they would be doing EHCP applications per key stage is entirely diabolical for those of us whose children were born with diagnosis and will always have that diagnosis, be physical or otherwise.
Lastly, there's going to be a review. We don't know the parameters of it, but if your counsel was sought as someone who works in this field and indeed has a child, what's the most important thing to ascertain in a review?
How do you mean, sorry?
What does the review need to look into? What are the most pressure points for parents? Is it EHCP? Is it provision of transport? Is it fully understanding of these range of conditions? What would you say it is?
I think they need to invest in learning about the lived experience of parents and children who go through any form of disability experience. I think just very basic things like going through the disability living allowance process is hideous. You know, I'm half intelligent, I have a master's degree and I work in social care. Applying for DLA every single time is hideous.
I'm sure it is. Let us know how you get on. Rebecca, I have to leave it there. Best wishes to your family for this Christmas if you celebrate it, or whatever you might celebrate. Alex, there'll be more calls on that in a moment. But I did tell you it's a busy day today, which is quite rare, actually, so close to Christmas. And we come back to a singer. This time it's Barry Manilow. At the Manilow has revealed he has lung cancer and will undergo surgery. He's 82 for hits, and of course, such as Copacabana, Mandy, and Looks Like We Made It. He's put a statement out on his social media in which he says that he has had that diagnosis. As many of you know, I recently went through 6 weeks of bronchitis, followed by a relapse of another 5 weeks. Even though I was over the bronchitis and back on stage at the Westgate Las Vegas, my wonderful doctor ordered an MRI just to make sure everything was okay. The MRI discovered a cancerous spot on my left lung that needs to be removed. It's pure luck and a great doctor that it was found so early. That's the good news. Pat Price is a professor, clinical oncologist and co-founder of the Catch Up with Cancer campaign. Well, Professor, is that the good news? And why would it take almost a lucky chance that they spotted this, do you imagine? Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, no, for him, that is a really good news cancer story for the morning. That is great. It sounds though he's caught early. He will need surgery that he can easily recover from and will be back in action. That's great. Lung cancers, obviously our lungs are in our chest. We use them for breathing. The trouble is you can have very small tumours there that you don't notice and you don't have any symptoms. So he may have had incidental symptoms with the flu or something and they just did the scan. So really caught early. And as we know, catching it early, less treatment, more curable.
It was sadly the cancer that did for my father, so I'm mildly familiar with lung cancer. How are you meant to check the condition of your lungs, Professor?
I'm sorry about that.
Oh, it's many years ago now. Many years ago, thank you.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But still, third commonest cancer.
Oh, lung, is it?
20,000 a year in the UK get lung cancer. And it's the 20% of cancer deaths. It's a big killer, unfortunately.
Wow, that's one not to get then. Unless you get it early. So what checks should, particularly me as my dad, is there something I should be doing?
Well, there are two things to do.
Don't if say you're stop drinking, Pat. It's
awful. No. It's Christmas.
Great, drink more.
I think, well, if you're in the 55 to 74 age group, yes, with a smoking history, there is a new screening program. Uh-huh. And that is great news. Because remember, 70% of lung cancers are smoking. So obviously, everybody's New Year resolution, you're all going to stop smoking.
Yep.
But if you have been smoking, then that is great. And that has been great. The NHS rolled that out last year. And already, they've looked at 1 million people, selected them for their GPs, either given them, screened them out, or given them low-dose CT scans. 5,000 early lung cancers. That is brilliant news. They're going to roll that out. Now, for the non-smokers, the ones outside that group, for non-smokers, carry on not smoking. For the people outside that group who haven't got access to a thing, look out for symptoms. Remember, these are your lungs, so it's on the NHS website. What you have to go to your doctor about is common things like, if you have a cough, mm-hmm, that is not your cough, hasn't gone away for more than 3 weeks, go to your GP. They will fast track you in. A long-standing cough that gets worse, repeated chest infections. Importantly, if you ever cough up blood, straight to your GP. Oh, odd chest pain, things like that. So think of it as your lungs. But the message is there's help out there. If you have a problem, just go. And remember, catching early, great.
Always enjoy speaking with you. Thank you for all your help through the year, Professor. Have a happy Christmas to you and your family. Professor Pat Price, clinical oncologist, co-founder of the Catch Up with Cancer campaign, 827. Let's come back to the row over SEND, special educational needs and disabilities. The row particularly over the spending, £12 billion per annum. Alex in Bournemouth. Alex, your view. Good morning.
Morning. I'd say the spending is, it's an effect of decades of constant emancipation of the education system, because I'm 32, but even when I was a child, I went to special needs schools, and we still use the taxi services that they're using now. This is just what happens when governments kick the can down the road and refuse to actually deal with the root causes.
What do you mean there should be more schools, more physical schools, so that we wouldn't need taxi services?
More schools, more investment in just, like, not even just special needs schools, but also mainstream schools so that they can handle them better. Mm. The constant starvation of resources have made education just basically not feasible, and like, even though I went to a special needs school and I only left with one GCSE, I still went to college and uni and stuff, but I still can't work because our services are so distraught that
you're unable to work. Alex, did you say?
Yeah, I can't work. I'm 32.
Why is that?
I have mental health conditions, but because they weren't treated properly, they compounded and got worse. And I just wanted to make a quick comment about Richard Tice, because I've spoken to him on this show before earlier this year, and these conditions that kids are going through SEND, he equated to as modern-day back pain, which was... there's no advantage to parents to getting onto these programs. Like, there's no financial benefit, there's no, academic benefit at all.
All right, I must leave it there for time reasons. Alex, I wish you well. Thank you. Need to remind you, Mr. Tice has apologised for some of those comments. 8:29. Now, before we go to the news, we are giving you a roundup of the year so that as you meet with friends over this Christmas or holiday period and they talk about various stories, well, you're informed of the conversation over the Christmas dinner table. And one of the big ones has, of course, been the attempts to try and, well, the previous administration called it stop the boats. For the Prime Minister, it was smash the gangs.
I'm absolutely determined that we're going to stop people crossing the channel in small boats. That is being run by gangs who are making a huge amount of money from the vile trade of people smuggling and getting them into those boats. And I was chief prosecutor for 5 years, and one of the things that I learned then was, if you're going to smash a gang that's driven by money, follow the money.
Right, that was in January. And in July, he was very excited with the one-in, one-out deal.
For the very first time, migrants arriving via small boat will be detained and returned to France in short order. In exchange for every return, a different individual will be allowed to come here via a safe route, controlled and legal.
Risible, isn't it, really? So, you know I like my numbers. Here is the reality. Well, just one Saturday earlier this month, more than 800 migrants successfully crossed the English Channel using 13 boats, a record for a day in December in recent years. That's already taken the total for this year to 41,455. It will, I imagine, get to 42,000. That's about a lift of around 10, broadly speaking, around 10, 12.5%, certainly more than 10% on the previous year. Second highest ever on record. So much for smashing the gangs. Oh, and that one-in, one-out deal? Well, 153 have been returned to France. 141 have been accepted. And, of course, you've got the additional 41,455 who've arrived. Smash the gangs? Smash the nonsense, really. That will never work. It's 8:31. You're listening to Breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, here on LBC. News time. Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly pressure the Home Secretary to scrap non-crime hate incidents in the new year. Officers will warn that recording them undermines freedom of speech and diverts officers away from fighting crime. A man is due to appear in court in Swindon later, charged with 56 offences against his former wife over a 13-year period. Philip Young, who's 49, is accused of drugging and raping Joanne Young, who's waived her right to anonymity. And the local government secretary has written to council leaders in England warning them not to introduce a four-day working week. It's after the system was brought in by the Lib Dem authority in South Cambridgeshire earlier this year, which claimed it helped to retain staff. LBC weather, cloudy for large parts of the UK, some outbreaks of rain in the west, a high of 10 degrees.
Tom. Tom Swarbrick on LBC.
Let's be generous. It is nearly Christmas after all. You are minded to think that 5 years isn't long enough in the grand sweep of a country's history to do anything. We've had significant political upheaval in that time, so we've not really given it a good go on our own to say, to run back to mummy again and join a customs union. We need to give it longer. So what's the it? The it is proper trade deal with the United States? Better trade deal with South Korea? I don't know.
Tom Swarbrick, Monday to Friday from 4 p.m. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
When your favourite celebs strut their stuff. When the underdog rises to the occasion. When you can't believe the judges' scores.
That was fantastic.
Wish I could pass a doge like that.
Well, for starters, you could pass a doge bickies.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels, so you can enjoy every twist and turn of your favourite reality show. Search TV licence together.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prep for the media business. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Atina, a media business student in year 12.
Being a young creative at Global Academy means that I get to turn my passion into a career. From studying creative enterprise, I've already learnt how to market my own business and gain knowledge about the business side of the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. globalacademy.com.
At Lidl, you can get a whole Christmas dinner for eight for under £1.30 per person with all the trimmings, including fresh Birchwood British whole turkey, potatoes, Yorkshire stuffing, sprouts, carrots, parsnips, and of course the gravy. Lidl, more to value. Subject to availability, selected stores, GB only. Fresh turkeys on sale 19th of December. See lidl.co.uk/lbtv for details.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
It's 8:34. Keep those nominations coming in for the picture that's going on our magazine cover. I have to say, Rachel Reeves has nudged into the lead now. It's an unfortunate picture, very distressing, when she was crying earlier in the year in the House of Commons. Second place now, Prince Andrew. Third, Donald Trump with his board. And we will be giving you more of those stories so that you can make your selection and announcing what is... and it's a very loose, I'm not counting every vote, just sort of getting the general sense of the emails and the texts that are coming in. Now, to other matters. Coming back to you, Sarah, you're going to be telling me about what you think needs to be done in the world of SEND. And in the world in review, we're off to talk about Donald Trump later in this hour. But to a road rage driver caught on camera screaming abuse at a female motorist, jailed yesterday after launching another foul-mouthed tirade, this time at a mother and her newborn baby. He is, as they say in the United States, a real piece of work, isn't he? Peter Abbott, 62. He went viral when he was filmed shrieking at a woman in a supermarket car park who beeped at him after he pulled out in front of her. It was out of a Tesco car park in 2023, and it went online. Now Britain's angriest man has screamed abuse at a mother with her pram after also previously lashing out at that female driver.
No, I'm finished! Excuse me. There is a bylaw. The owners have to keep their dogs on the lead. When you period!
When you finish,
there's no argument.
It is like trying to rationalise with a previous editor I worked for. I shouldn't laugh because it's appalling behaviour. And it is illegal behaviour. It's a breach of his suspended sentence. And he's gone to jail. He's in the chokey for 6 weeks. Joe Hemmings is a behavioural psychologist. Joe. Busy time of the year. We're all going out and trying to buy presents and get the turkey and wrapping paper. We're all in a bit of a rush. But if someone pulled out at me, let alone at a woman, I wouldn't start screaming at them like this. What is triggered in these people's minds? Morning, Joe.
Morning, Nick. Look, it's really about identity under threat. So the moment we step into a car, onto a bike, we're sort of wearing a kind of psychological armor. We're not just being me. We're a driver. We're a cyclist. It's roles loaded with rules, expectations, unspoken hierarchies. So when something goes wrong, someone cuts us up or blocks our way, a pedestrian does something we consider foolish, it doesn't register as neutral. It feels personal. So it feels like someone's disrespected us, challenged challenged our competence, denied our right to exist in that space. And it really triggers that fight or flight syndrome where our adrenaline spikes and those with really controlling personalities just lose it.
Give me the coping mechanisms that we should all try to employ.
Well, look, except that, you know, there are other road users. You are not the only king of the road, either whether you're on a bike or whether you're in a car. You know, it's just, it's going to happen. We all want to get to A to B as smoothly and quickly as possible. Accept, acknowledge, embrace that there are going to be some issues along the way. And just, you know, if you're in a car, listen to some calming music, but just don't let every single trigger of a piece of bad driving or pedestrians or whatever it is, you know, let that inflate that adrenaline spike. Just take a few deep breaths and carry on.
How do anger management courses work, and how successful are they?
They are quite successful because these tend to be quite highly controlled A-type personalities. It's often the straw that breaks the camel's back. So they are already anxious, stressed. They're always on that high cortisol level. That means they've probably got a bit of a temper. And actually addressing how you can control that temper by things like breathing techniques, by stopping, pausing for a moment to rationalize what is actually going on and how you should respond. A very good long term for some people. There are others who, because of their characters, just dismiss it out of hand and say, there's nothing wrong with me and I'm going to carry on. You know, if I find something irritating or annoying, I'm just going to tell people how I feel. That's the person I am.
Lastly, give folk tips to get through the next few days, rushing around the supermarket, rushing around stores, crowded trains, crowded car parks. What should they remember?
Well, expect it. Don't expect anything else.
So just know it's going to be hell and then
yes,
everything else is up.
Know it. Yep.
Joe Hemmings, thank you, behavioural psychologist, grateful for that. Sarah, coming to you to talk about Send in a moment. I must get some of these emails. And I think it was Mike in Devon, because Labour is taking a bashing. The government, as every year's review, the government is always going to take a bashing, as Conservatives did a couple of years ago. And Mike said, can we have some of the Labour achievements? And I'm happy that Ben has rallied to the cause. He's looking at the NHS, secured £400 million investment to boost clinical trials, announced recruitment of 1,000-plus additional GPs within the year, set out a long-term 10-year NHS rebuilding plan focused on service transformation, ended train strikes, and there's one here which I don't think... Oh, no, introduced legislation. OK, thank you. And I'm very happy to read that. So, Ben, thank you for doing that work and sending that over. On the subject of Send, which is what we're going to talk to Sarah about in just a second, this comes in from Tess. Have we stopped using minibuses or school buses? What happened to those? Similar point, Denise in Ashford in Surrey. Can you do some research into the phenomenal cost of home-to-school transport to the UK taxpayer? Reform is needed. Parents have to stop relying on this free transport. It's a scandal. Don't rely on other people to pay for your children's daily needs. Well, I think they would say that they've obviously got work commitments. Lastly, this comes in from, where's your name, Alex in Enfield. The specialist schools cost between £60,000 and £85,000 per student. Bus transport can be as much as £50,000 a year, or cabs. That's not including the Send money that comes with the EHCP itself. I think there is overdiagnosing going on in the system. Sarah's in Basingstoke. What's the reality as you see it? Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Nick. Certainly in my area, the reality is that there are not enough specialist school places. And a lot of money is being wasted because parents are forced to go down the tribunal route in order to receive a specialist school place for their child. And the reality, I think, is more than 90% of parents are successful at tribunal. So I dread to think of the amount of taxpayers' money that's being wasted on that, which could have been spent in providing school places.
Just over an hour ago, we heard the minister saying that a review will take place in the new year. What areas do you think that review needs to scrutinise?
I think it needs to scrutinise a whole approach to Send, especially for working parents. I mean, me and my husband are working. We hope to win a specialist school place for our child, but there won't be wraparound care, there won't be holiday care and all the other things that working parents rely on. And it's all very well people saying that people need to take care of their own children, but the reality is if one parent needs to give up work, that's tax receipts that the government isn't receiving,
plus additional benefits that they're paying out. So I think they need to see it from the parent's point of view. No parent in their right mind would ever go through this process if their child didn't need it.
How old, do you mind asking how old the child is that you're talking about?
Yeah, so he's 3.5. He's due to start reception in September. He has an EHCP, and the local authority has agreed that he needs a specialist school, but they've also warned me that they're all full already. Oh. And so I'm going to have to go down the tribunal route, which seems it's a scandalous waste of money. And no one would do this if their child didn't need it.
And the specialist school, I appreciate it's full, but how far away would it have been had he attended it?
Well, the local specialist school is about 2 miles away, so I could provide transport. But if they were to have to source a specialist school place for him, I think the next nearest one would be about 10 miles up the road. And so obviously that's then more transport costs for that if, you know, if me and my husband are to continue working. And I appreciate that's a sting for any taxpayer to have to pay out for that. But equally, if you were looking at it from a cold spreadsheet perspective, I think it's money well spent.
Sarah, good luck with him. Enjoy your Christmas with your family, if you celebrate it, or enjoy the holidays with your family. Thank you. 8:43. Now, we are doing a review of the major solar stories of the year, so that as you sit down with your relatives or your friends or whatever, and someone says, whatever happened with the boats? Whatever happened with Donald Trump? We are equipping you with everything you need to know. Just snapshots of the major stories of the year. And one of them, of course, concerns Rachel Reeves. And I'm happy to read Labour's achievements from Ben there as regards health, but as regards the economy, it is a reality that is headed in a rather perilous direction. Now, at the end of last month, Chancellor Rachel Reeves announced a freeze on the income tax thresholds, forcing millions of people to pay more tax.
Today, I am asking everyone to make a contribution. The previous Conservative government... Conservative government froze personal tax thresholds from 2021 to 2028. And today I will maintain all income tax and equivalent national insurance thresholds at their current level for a further 3 years from 2028.
But in the same budget, it has to be said, she announced the lifting of the two child cap on benefits, lifting nearly 500,000 children, she said, out of poverty.
I can announce today, fully costed and fully funded, the removal of the two-child limit in full from April. We are lifting 450,000 children out of poverty with the end of the two-child limit.
Now, you have to say, if you look again at the numbers, the last 3 months for GDP, that's effectively the country's economic health, growth was at 0.2%, 0.1%, and last month, minus 0.1%. It would appear to be going only in one direction. And of course it was in July that, and you'd have needed a heart of stone not to be moved by the sight of the woman crying in the House of Commons for what she later called a tough day and a personal issue. That might be one of your nominations for the cover of the supposed magazine that we are putting together. And also events from this year.
With us, you start having cards. Right now, you're playing cards.
Mr. President, you're playing cards.
You're gambling with the lives of millions of people. Yes.
You don't have the cards. That famous clash between presidents in the White House. We'll remind you of that after this. It's 8:45. LBC News headlines, read by Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly pressure the Home Secretary in the new year to scrap non-crime hate incidents. A man is due to appear in court in Swindon, charged with 56 offences against his former wife over a 13-year period. And the local government secretary has written to council leaders in England, warning them not to introduce four-day working weeks. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the UK, some outbreaks of rain in the west, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. It's slow on the M25 clockwise because of an accident. There's snow on the hard shoulder between junction 14 for Heathrow and junction 15 for the M4. On the M25 clockwise, the exit slip road at junction 14 for Heathrow stays closed because of an accident, so that's adding to the delays. On the M25 anti-clockwise, there's one lane closed, the junction 23 for the A1M on the exit slip road. That's because a car has broken down. There are queues embarking on the A13 going into town. There's one lane blocked because of an accident between the Lodge Avenue flyover and Movers Lane. There's only one Woolwich Ferry running, that's because of technical problems. And on the trains, Eurostar have delays of up to half an hour and cancellations at St Pancras after engineering works overrun. And South Eastern, they're running a Saturday timetable today and tomorrow.
This is LBC.
Do it for your wife, who told you to pick up bread, but instead you picked up Fred, your grandson, again And now your daughter is calling because he missed football. That's the fourth time this month. You can wave his future career goodbye. If you don't do it for you, do it for your wife and little Freddie.
New In, the latest custom-fit rechargeable hearing devices. Discreet, comfortable and smart enough to help you catch every moment. Book a free hearing test at bootshearingcare.com. T's and C's apply.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060973. LBC.
This Christmas at Tesco, get a six-pack of Tesco Finest Mince Pies for just £1.50. Down from £3 with your Tesco Club card. Finding great prices, that's what makes it Christmas. Tesco, every little helps. Majority of larger stores, mince pie six-pack ends 25th of December. Club card or app required.
Santa's stuck up the chimney. It must be him. He's scrambling around. He's making a din. There's soot on the carpet, stockings on the floor. But wait, a black smudge in the shape of a paw. Santa's not stuck. He doesn't meow. It must be your cat. And she's coming down now. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the journalism industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Molly, a journalism student in Year 12.
Outside of the classroom, we run our own news platform called The Loop. I do a daily news bulletin and produce videos for socials. We learn everything we need to be a journalist and have even learned alongside the news team at Global.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in Years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including Well Man, Well Woman, Well Baby and Well Kid. From Boots, Pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
It's me, again, to remind you that tonight's Euro Millions jackpot is £35 million.
Which means... it's time to play the song. Again. Get in tonight's Euro Millions draw. Play on app.
Estimated jackpot. Account terms, rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
My colleague's just shown me the scores on the doors. 10 minutes before nine. The 9 hour will be my last hour broadcasting to you for this year. Hopefully I shall return. If God spares me, I'll return in January. And there's been some interesting ones. Many of you saying, don't let's forget the call, of course, with John of York. Do you remember that was the gentleman who went to Dignitas? That was probably a moving piece of radio this year and for many years. I don't think that's a front page picture, in all honesty. It's Rachel Reeves and Prince Andrew now out ahead, but we've still got a year to go. And thank you for the nominations, but it should be on the front page of the magazine, a picture of my wedding. But I don't know if I can afford the royaltist of Piers Morgan, because he features in that as well, let alone Biggins and Mylene Class. Right, let's come back to our conversation. We'll tell you about Donald Trump in a moment or three. He was a runner and rider with his Eurovision Song Style Board of Tariffs. More on that in a moment. But we're talking about this row over Sen. The government attacking reform. Reform did, I think, make... well, there's no question, I didn't take the words, I think. They did get it wrong, talking about children wearing ear defenders. It's because the poor ones, they just can't cope with the noise, and we have to be appreciative of that. But I do think we have to identify what's happened that's spending a spiral to this matter. Peter's in West London. Peter, what can you tell me? Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hello, sir.
First-time caller.
Good to have you on. Thank you so much.
So me and my wife both work. We have a special needs child with Down syndrome, and the local school weren't able to provide up to what we were expecting. So they suggested that we go to out-of-borough Sen school. Well, thank God we didn't have to go through the tribunal. However, the local council, they made us sign a waiver saying that if they provide the placement, the funding for the placement, we can't claim any transport for the entire school life he'll be there.
Sorry, just explain that for me. So how much funding is it then? Sorry, can you...
They didn't give a figure, however, they'll say that they will completely fund his placement.
Ah.
As long as we do not claim for transport.
Okay. How far a journey is it?
It's with traffic, it's about 45 minutes.
Okay. Are you able to make the journey yourself or wife and partner do it?
On a Friday, we are, but the rest of the week, we both work. So we aren't able, unless we go with... So every day, it's a stress getting either members of staff to drive in with him or get a taxi. But, yeah, I definitely understand the stress that...
What are you going to do? I mean, that sounds a pretty good deal, that the lad can go to one of these special schools, but you'll have to cover the transport costs. What's your view on that?
I fully understand it, because for what he's getting at the moment, it's absolutely beyond our wildest dreams of his care. He's absolutely thriving and happy.
Gosh.
And,
I mean, I don't want to be cheeky, but that's worth a taxi fare, isn't it, for the boy?
That's exactly what I've said, but I'm just coming from the point of view of a parent who has to go through that stress of looking, making sure every single day he's got somewhere to get home and get back from school.
Of course, no. So, sorry, how old is the boy?
The boy now is 8.
He's 8.
He's been there for 3 years. He went there when he was 5.
Okay. And what is the expectation? He'll be able to work as an adult?
That's our expectation, that he could do, for example, like in a grocery store, bagging and things like that. But he's a very high achiever in our eyes.
Of course.
School.
And is he able to get involved in sports as well? Is he interested in that?
He loves kicking around the ball. I don't know if he understands the concept of team sports.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
But he loves fighting with his brothers. That's a sport.
We all love fighting with our brothers, having grown up with two of them. Have a happy Christmas down there. Good luck to you. How many children do you have?
Much.
Is it just the two boys, Peter, or do you have more?
I've got 3 boys now.
Oh, I was one of 3 boys. Oh, fantastic. Well, and the age range of your children? The age range of your children?
So one's 8 weeks, one's 4, and one is 8.
Oh, boy, it's going to be busy. Have a good one, Peter. Thank you. Best wishes to your family. And I think you're a very wise dad. That is well worth the cost of a taxi fare. Of course, if you get others to help. I mean, maybe is that the future here? We have provision for your child. Unfortunately, it's a school that's a little way away. We'll fund the education, but you'll have to get your child to and from school. Is that so bad? We might come back to that. But as I say, we are telling you about the previous 12 months, so whatever you do over the holidays, you know pretty much what has been going on. And, of course, the start of the year saw the inauguration of one Donald J. Trump as the 47th President of the United States of America, only the second person ever to have a win-lose-win track record in that job. Now, he's been making headlines over the past 12 months and bringing about peace in the Middle East, claiming paracetamol is linked to autism, and that row with President Zelensky in the Oval Office. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks looks back at the good, the bad, and the undoubted ugly of the first full year of Trump.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
The office of President of the United States.
It all got off to an orthodox start as Donald Trump returned to the Oval Office. But even on January the 20th, in his second inaugural address, there were hints that this time round, things would be different.
Those who wish to stop our cause have tried to take my freedom, and indeed, to take my life. But I felt then, and believe even more so now, that my life was saved for a reason.
He arrived back in office determined that in his second term, nothing will stop him from delivering on the mandate he won last year. A government made up only of Make America Great Again loyalists. No moderates to talk him out of stuff, like firing hundreds of thousands of federal government workers, tearing down the east wing of the White House, naming buildings after himself, and eradicating virtually all U.S. foreign aid.
So certainly a lot of work for a Department of Government Efficiency.
Elon Musk given free rein to slash and burn until it became inevitable that Washington wasn't big enough for both of them. No one there either able to talk Trump out of his Liberation Day tariffs in April.
Indonesia, Malaysia, Cambodia. Oh, look at Cambodia, 97%. They made a fortune with the United States of America. United Kingdom, 10%. And we'll go 10%.
Number 10 thought that was a major result.
Can I present a letter from the King?
Thank you very much.
Teed up by the Prime Minister's February meeting with the US leader, in which that famous letter was brandished, offering Donald Trump a second state visit.
This is really special. This has never happened before. This is unprecedented.
The President loved that, but other visitors to an Oval Office that has sported more and more gold leaf and moulding over the last year had less luck.
You're not in a good position. You don't have the cards right now. With us, you start having cards.
Cards.
Right now, you don't have
cards.
You're playing cards. You're playing cards. You're gambling with the lives of millions of people.
The mugging of Volodymyr Zelensky, a clear signal that President Trump was ready to sell Ukraine down the river. But then, a summit meeting in Alaska with Vladimir Putin did not go the way the American president anticipated.
There were many, many points that we agreed on. Most of them, I would say, a couple of big ones that we haven't quite got there.
As the year ends, a conflict he said he would settle on the first day of his presidency remains unresolved. But on other battlefields, success.
The hostages are back. The hostages are back.
A hero's welcome for America's president in the Knesset after the U.S. forced Benjamin Netanyahu into a peace deal with Hamas.
Bibi, you're going to be remembered for this far more than if you kept this thing going, 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 kill, kill, kill.
Trump styles himself as the peace president, despite committing U.S. force to the destruction of Iran's nuclear facilities and ending the year threatening to unseat the government in Venezuela. And at home...
Police!
He has unleashed masked ICE and Border Patrol agents, sweeping people up in mass deportations that have ridden roughshod over civil rights, the law, and Congress.
Get your hands off these poor people. They're just trying to live their lives, man. The fear. The horror.
Governor Gavin Newsom of California, one of the few Democrats who have cut through this year. Trump's approval rating stands at just 39% today, but Democrats in Congress, only 18% of voters give them the thumbs up. Dire numbers as we head into a midterm election year.
The Democrat Party is an extremist organization. It's not a political party in any normal sense of the word.
Deputy White House Chief of Staff Stephen Miller indicating plans to investigate, and he even suggested exile Democrats who are backing protests against Trump. But while some in America are standing up, the year has seen universities, law firms, media companies, and big business bend the knee before a president who is expanding executive power, bypassing Congress and the courts, and still concealing details of his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein. As he himself put it only last week,
"We have achieved more than anyone could have imagined. What a difference a year makes."
President Trump speaking in a primetime address to the American people from the White House to conclude Simon Mark's report. All right, but music means the conversation moves on. Coming up after the news, Labour, the government ordering councils not to adopt a four-day working week. You may recall, I spoke with the leader of South Cambridgeshire Council. She says that the services have improved. What do you find? Have you had problems with them moving to a four-day week? This was Bridget Smith, leader of South Cambridgeshire District Council.
The experience has been really positive. The reason that we embarked on it was that we were really struggling to recruit and retain the staff that we needed.
Into our jails, and families and supporters of the Palestine Action affiliated hunger strikers have pleaded with Justice Secretary David Lammy to meet in an attempt to end the impasse over the protests that's left some of them severely unwell. A couple of them have gone 51 days just taking water with salt. Those stories and the conclusion of our year in review after the 9 o'clock news.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 9 o'clock, police leaders will reportedly pressure the Home Secretary to scrap non-crime hate incidents in the new year. Officers will warn that recording them undermines freedom of speech and diverts away from fighting crime. They'll present a so-called common sense approach plan, where only the most serious antisocial behaviour is logged. Chief Constable of Greater Manchester's Police, Sir Stephen Watson, told Nick last month the policy needs reviewing.
We also need to recognise that sometimes the online space is used to harass people, to perpetrate fraud, and we've got to be a little cautious that everything in the online space can't automatically be assumed not to be a crime. So we've got to be careful not to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
A man is due to appear in court in Swindon later, charged with 56 offences against his former wife. Philip Young, who's 49, is accused of drugging and raping Joanne Young over a 13-year period. Five other men have also been charged with sexual offences against the 48-year-old, who's waived her right to anonymity.
A local government secretary, Steve Reid, has written to council leaders in England warning them not to introduce four-day working weeks. It's after the system was brought in by the Liberal Democrat Authority in South Cambridgeshire earlier this year, which told LBC it helped to retain staff. But the Labour source now says that voters deserve high standards and seeing staff working a four-day working week won't cut it. People who've grown up in care will be able to get free prescriptions and dental treatments until their 25th birthday. The government's announced plans to extend support for around 100,000 more young people from next year. Figures suggest more than a quarter of care leavers aren't taught how to get help with their mental health. The Children and Families Minister, Josh McAllister, told Nick this morning that's not acceptable.
The stories that I've heard over the recent years are young people who are in crisis. They're maybe 16, 17, and they've been waiting for mental health support for a long time. And services will often look at that young person and say, you're not in a permanent address. You've got not only a mental health issue, but also an addiction issue. And so your life's a bit too complicated for us as a service right now to help. Now, that's just not acceptable.
And the Met Office says 2025's on course to be the warmest year the UK's ever seen since records began. Only a cold spell over the next week could drive temperatures down to a point where figures from 2022 are not overtaken. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 11 at 98.76. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the UK today. Some outbreaks of rain in the west with a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search, don't get caught out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Nick Ferrari at breakfast.
Good morning, it's 4 minutes after nine on Tuesday, December the 23rd. The call from the government to local authorities, don't switch to a four-day week. Get behind your desk, get in there for the full 5 days. I'll be asking you, have you had issues with your local authority? In other news, families and supporters of Palestine Action-affiliated hunger strikers in jail have pleaded with the Justice Secretary to meet with them in an attempt to end the impasse over the protest that has left some of them seriously ill and indeed hospitalised. Campaigner Sophie Bolt speaking outside the Ministry of Justice in London last week.
They are literally days, if not hours, away from possible death. A death that can be stopped right now by this government.
We'll conclude our review of the year and also conclude what you think is going to be the front page for the magazine. We're metaphorically putting together to feature the chronicle the events of the previous 12 months. And although it appears that this show is put together with gossamer thread, it doesn't always quite go according to plan. Sosna in Ipswich. Sosna, what's your story? Good morning.
You've been placed on hold.
Okay, I'll come back to you when I can.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 60 60973. Text 84850. Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Who's right, who's wrong? Central or local government? 5 or 4 day week? Have you, like me, tried to find out, I know I'm a bit of ahead of the game, where I'm going to recycle my Christmas tree this year? Now, the reason that I ask you this is there used to be a lovely spot on Blackheath where, as long as you got your tree up there by the end of January, if it's a real tree, I have a real tree, then it goes off and they do something with it. I don't know what they do with it, mulch it, I have no idea. But last year when I went up there, it wasn't there. Well, it was, sorry, the heath was there, but there was... So I have tried to find out where... And I don't know why I'm so obsessed by this, but people who know me, I become strangely obsessed about the most bizarre things. So I still don't know where my tree... And if you try and ring, forget it. Go on the website, it doesn't tell you. This is Lewisham Local Authority. Try and ring, forget about it. Now, that to me is a very, 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 very small example. I'm not relying on my transport, I'm not relying on my food, I'm not relying on my accommodation, I'm not relying on any aspects of my personal care through a local authority. It's merely a Christmas tree. So, in worst case, I can probably sort it out anyway. But, is it an example? Because we do pay them for a 5 day week. and they're doing a four-day week. Steve Reed, the community secretary, warning all leaders of English local authorities. They may be considered to be failing if staff are paid a full week's wages for 4 days a week. So they're obviously hinting at, if you want your four-day week, well, you'll have to lock 20% off your pay. Councils are free to set their own policies, but the government has the power to take control if, as an authority, is deemed to be failing. The number is now at 25 councils discussing a four-day week. One, South Cambridgeshire District Council, has already moved to the pattern. But critics say the four-day weeks reduce productivity, slow economic growth, and make it impossible for Nick Ferrari to get rid of his Christmas tree. I mean, right, I made the last bit up from the Daily Telegraph report. I really did. Now, as recently as October, I spoke with Councillor Bridget Smith, leader of the council in question, South Cambridgeshire, the first council to have turned to a four-day week, the only one currently. I asked her, what's that done for efficiency?
With a four-day working week, I just say we are open 5 days a week and a lot of our services are available 24/7, our emergency services. We work 32-hour week. It's taken us from being a good council to being an outstanding council because our staff are highly motivated. They are working much, much smarter. We've seen improvements across the board. We've saved nearly £400,000 a year because we're not paying expensive agency staff.
To play some of your own words, they're working much, much smarter. Yes. In what way?
It's working at a level of intensity that actually is not sustainable over a traditional five days because people would just burn out very, very quickly and a two-day weekend doesn't give enough time to recover from
that. Well, how are all the other authorities in the country managing then, Councillor, if they burn out so quickly over 4 days?
So the other councils in the country aren't managing well at all. And, I think we are probably the only council in the country that doesn't have a chronic recruitment and retention problem, which is why we embarked on this in the first place.
I'm not surprised. You've got a four-day week. Yeah, I mean, that's one thing, isn't it? Our staff are staying. Well, of course they are. They've got 4 days. They've been paid for five and they're working four. By the way, subsequently a poll has been done by South Cambridgeshire residents that says they think the service is appalling. But I need to counter that by saying that South Cambridgeshire District Council itself has done a different poll which says that people say it's going well. So take from that what you will. Harriet Minter is a journalist and hybrid work consultant and partner LEAP, Leadership Development, LEAP as in jump, and joins me now. Harriet, if I may call you that, I can see what's in it for the staff. What's in it, in this instance, for the council taxpayers? Good morning.
Good morning. Well, in theory, what you should get are more, as Bridget says, they're more engaged, more proactive and more efficient workers. So you should be still getting the same level of service, but the way it's being structured internally is different. So the external appearance of that service should not be any different. It should still be the same service level, but just the internal running of it looks a bit different.
Mm. I don't know if you've had reason to contact your local authority, but if you look at the newspaper reports today, and I'm sure this could happen on a 5 day week, but there are people saying that they're having a few problems now as it is, and to go to a 4 day week will just make it worse.
Well, I think this is the key point here, which is, like, does going to a 4 day week help solve the problems that you are facing? Now, I am always slightly sceptical of newspaper polls which say, well, locals say this is a terrible service because if somebody asked me about...
Yeah, exactly.
If somebody asked me, I'd probably say, yes, my local authority is a terrible service too, because the first thing that always comes to our mind is the negative.
Yeah.
But actually, if overall the system is working well and we know that we are going to be able to retain more people at a higher quality doing a better level of work by giving them these essentially better working conditions, by making yourselves a more competitive employer, that feels like a good decision to make.
Even in local authorities? I can hear what you're saying if you and I were running a, I don't know, a logistics company or whatever it might be, a sales team or a media company, but local authority, does it really apply there, Harriet?
Well, this is what we're finding out. I mean, I think this is a period of experimentation, right? We have to say we want to try new things. But I think what we can all agree is that none of us really feel like our local authority does a great job. So if somebody comes to you and says, well, I think we can do a better job if we do this, why wouldn't you give it a go?
Lastly, paid 5 days, working four. What about if the government was to say to local authorities, if you want to pursue this, that's fine, but we'll be looking for a 20% cut in pay?
I mean, again, I can understand why they would, but the reason for the local authorities to pursue it in the first place is because they're saying we want to retain highly skilled staff, we want to be able to hire the best people, we don't want to be having to hire whoever comes along because we can't fill the job.
Being able to answer the phone and tell me where I can recycle my Christmas tree is hardly highly skilled, is it? It's just someone who's looking at a chart.
It You say that, but you would notice the difference if you had somebody who really cared and was engaged with their job answering that phone. And well, for a start, they'd pick up the phone.
They don't. No one's answering the phone in Catford. It's infuriating. I mean, I've got a month and of it, and I know, but I don't know what I'm going to do with my Christmas tree, Harriet.
I have the same problem. It's not clearly signposted, but maybe if we had people who were a little bit more committed to their jobs, who felt their job cared about them, and in return cared about their job, it would be clearly signposted.
Harriet Minter is a journalist, hybrid work consultant and partner at LEAP Leadership Development. Harriet, thank you for that. Let's bring to the conversation Alice Denby, who's opinion and features editor at City AM, which is, of course, tied into the great financial institutions and is read by so many people in the square mile. Are people getting back to a five-day week in the square mile? Are people hanging on to a four? What's the reality in your world? Alice, good morning.
Hi, Nick. Look, flexible working is important, especially if you're a big corporation like a financial services company in the city. We afford workers flexibility. That's fine. I don't think that taxpayers should expect the same. You know, if you're going to a four-day week in a local council, then you should expect 20% more productivity. And I don't think anybody is convinced that that is what these local councils, particularly South Cambridgeshire, are delivering. You say yourself, you can't get your Christmas tree
You can't get your
potholes filled. Councils should be focused on delivering value for the taxpayer, just as financial services companies deliver value for their shareholders, rather than, you know, have people having a nice life and flexible working.
And what do you make of this argument that it's, as we heard from the leader of the council, and indeed we heard from my other commentator, that it is a way to boost staff retention? Is there a horse in the room?
Sorry, Nick. I want to be nuanced here because I do think flexible working is really important, especially for working mothers. You know, I'm a working mother myself. I work at home on Fridays. I think it is important, and it is important to retain good people. But I do think when you're talking about taxpayers' money, when you're talking about, you know, people who pay the wages are taxpayers, then you want to be delivering value for money. And I'm just not convinced that councils are doing this if they're moving to a 4-day week. You see across the board that public sector productivity lags way behind the private sector. So I'm just not convinced by this point.
Lastly, what is the city view? Let's move away from local authorities and move into, as you say, the private sector. What is the city view of the bosses with whom you speak about trying to get everyone back behind their desks or in the offices or whatever it might be, 5 days a week?
Look, on the whole, I think bosses want to see people getting back into the city, particularly in the square mile. You know, it's the most vibrant part of London, but it's really struggled since the pandemic. Sectors like hospitality definitely want to see people coming back to the office. And I just think personally, I mean, people listening to this, I just think you're more creative, you're more productive, you're on better form if you're in the office than if you're at home. So, you know, reasonable flexibility, of course, and as I say, especially for working mothers. But I think people need to be in the office more than they don't need to be.
Alice Denby is opinion and features editor at City AM. I hope you can get out of the office at some point today and enjoy a break. Thank you for your input in that. And we'll come to you. 4-day week, well, let's pay them at the rate of 4 days. And thanks also to Mike, who's made me aware of it. I think I know where my tree's going now. I don't know how you found that so quickly, Mike, but I'm going to get onto that during the commercial break and see whether I can take my tree. 4-day week, plus we continue our review of the year. And this troubling story regarding those hunger strikers, we're going to get into that in more detail as well. It's 9:15, LBC News headlines, then Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly pressure the Home Secretary in the new year to scrap non-crime hate incidents. A man is due to appear in court in Swindon, charged with 56 offences against his former wife over a 13-year period. And the local government secretary has written to council leaders in England, warning them not to introduce 4-day working weeks. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the UK, some outbreaks of rain in the west, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. It's slow on the M25. Clockwise, the exit slip road at junction 14 for Heathrow is closed because of an accident. Those delays also aren't helped by a separate accident on the M25 clockwise that's on the hard shoulder before junction 14 for Heathrow. There are queues embarking on the A13 going into town after an accident earlier, but in the Lodge Avenue flyover and Movers Lane. There's only one Woolwich ferry running because of technical problems. On the trains, Southern and Gatwick Express are running a reduced service at Victoria because of festive timetable changes. South Eastern are running to a Saturday time. timetable. South Western Railway, they're running a reduced service between Waterloo and Exeter St David's because of a shortage of trains, and there's disruption to a number of TfL bus routes in South West, West and North West London because of a strike.
This is LBC.
Two Costa Lattes for Abby.
It's the first time you've seen each other since summer. Four loops through the park later. It's warmer now. Not in temperature, in connection. You've covered toddler tantrums and the eternal mystery of how Katie is always on holiday. Between snorts of laughter and warm sips, you realise this is the best present you've unwrapped all year. This season, it's more than a latte. It's a Costa Christmas catch-up. Costa Coffee, made with heart.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. This is LBC. Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
With Lidl Plus, there's no need to stress to impress this Christmas. Get 15% off deluxe chilled party food, like golden prawn toasties with ponzu dip, scrumptious paella bites and delicious vegetable dim sum. Lidl, more to value. 18 plus GB only, subject to availability. Selected stores, terms apply. See lidl.co.uk/lbtv. Ends 31st of the 12th.
Do it for your wife, who told you to pick up bread, but instead you picked up Fred, your grandson, again. And now your daughter is calling because he missed football. That's the fourth time this month. You can wave his future career goodbye. If you don't do it for you, do it for your wife and little Freddy.
New In, the latest custom-fit rechargeable hearing devices. Discreet, comfortable and smart enough to help you catch every moment. Book a free hearing test at bootshearingcare.com. T's and C's apply.
This Christmas, McDonald's and the Elf on the Shelf are bringing festive tasks to your little ones, like writing a Christmas card for your postie.
Thank you. You're one happy helper.
Some fun, some food, it's all inside this Happy Meal. Until the 30th of December, from 11 a.m. Includes one pre-selected book or toy, while stocks last. Subject to availability, fair ordering policy applies.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
David, coming to you, I want to hear your views of a four-day week, what it does in your particular automotive industry. But that's after we start to move to conclude. This is the last hour I'll be speaking with you in this year. Hopefully I'll be speaking with you for summer next year. And we are taking you over the major events and stories and asking for your suggestion as what the front page picture is. Now, the BBC has been making news of its own and mostly for all the wrong reasons. This is that now infamous, misedit, appalling, just a criminal journalistic fail on the so-called flagship programme, Panorama.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and I'll be there with you, and we fight. We fight like hell.
And this is the original, undoctored version of that speech from the 6th of January, 2021.
We're going to walk down to the Capitol, and we're going to cheer on our brave senators and congressmen and women.
Now, in November, we all learnt what the BBC had learnt back in May. The Director General, the Chairman, still in post, the Head of News, all learnt of the problems with that speech, and yet did nothing until it was revealed by one of the newspapers. And it made Trump look as though he was directly urging supporters to go and fight. Subsequently, as you know, Tim Davie, the Director General, resigned, as did Deborah Tenness, the News Chief Executive, it's called. And this month, President Trump has filed a $10 billion defamation lawsuit. That would be $10 billion. And it comes to the end of a pretty poor year for the BBC, it has to be said, with problems of broadcasting Bob Villain. How did that ever happen? The ongoing row and inability to get Hugh Edwards' £200,000 payback that they paid him while he was suspended. You could ask why that went on. As well as the Hamas documentary. The BBC are going into negotiations, of course, for their licence fee. Well, we have to recall it's not been a year that their reputation has been so tarnished or tattered, I would suggest. And that's another possibility for the review of the year. Picture of Bob Villain, particularly bad moment at Glastonbury. We'll come with more of your views on that in a moment. David in Horsham, thanks for holding. You are in the automotive industry, is that right? Good morning.
Yes, Nick, good morning to you. Yeah, when I first heard the article this morning, I thought about the four-day week. It occurred to me that my experience of this is that quite a lot of businesses now in my automotive retail we offer technicians 4-day working weeks, and it's gone down really well with those that where it works. But what we do is they get offered a 4-day working week, but each day they increase their hours to 12 hours or maybe 10 hours. So they'll still work in the same number of hours, but in a shorter number of days.
And what specifically are these workers doing? Hello?
Yeah, sorry, say that again, Nick.
Okay, I say, what is it specifically? What are the jobs that these workers are doing?
Yeah, this is automotive technicians working in a workshop, so they're not customer-facing, they're not answering the telephones and things like that. But my understanding, though, is that the local authorities are saying that they're offering a 4-day week, but with no increase in hours. So they're reducing the hours by a full day. Is that right? For the same pay?
Yes, and that's what's annoyed the government.
And I'm not surprised. It would annoy me too, because, I mean, I think there has to be a quid pro quo here. If you want a flexibility of a 4-day working week, then you need to increase the average working hours per day. So you're still working the same, but you have the flexibility of the 4-day working week. I think that's perfectly reasonable.
But they're not prepared to do that, lastly, David.
No, well, clearly not, but that sums up local authority. And my father worked in a local authority for 42 years, and the stories he had to tell over the years, he's long gone now, but would make you, well, you probably wouldn't pull your hair out because you probably heard them all before, but it's just terrific. There's some very good people doing some very good work, but there's also some incredibly entitled people who don't necessarily pull their weight and know that their jobs are jobs for life almost. And it's a pretty disappointing and depressing state of affairs.
How would they fare in the automotive sector?
In private retail, I've worked in both, I have knowledge of both, and let me tell you that it is a lot tougher. I'm not saying it's not tough working in the public sector. It's a tough world, but the focus on efficiency and productivity in the private sector would destroy anybody coming from the public sector.
What do you do sell them cars? What do you do?
No. I train people. I work in training and development.
Training what? Selling or technicians?
Training managers and salespeople. I don't. Yeah, if you have to lift the bonnet, I'm not your man. That's not my bag. But I train managers and I train salespeople. And ironically, not in this country. I work all over the world, but I don't work in the UK. I live in the UK, but I work all over the world.
Okay, you're here for Christmas now. No travelling for a bit?
Fortunately, yes. I'm delighted to say I'm going to my son's for Christmas Day.
Lovely.
See my granddaughter.
Oh, it'll
be brilliant. Really nice.
Yeah. When are you next on the road?
Probably late January, early February.
Off to where? Do you know yet?
Probably Hungary, maybe Japan, and certainly Ireland and Germany.
Happy landings. Enjoy your family Christmas. I sense you will, and thanks for all your background on the 4-day week. We'll take more calls on that in just a moment. But a story that's on one of the front pages of the newspapers this morning, The Guardian. Families and supporters of Palestine Action-affiliated hunger strikers have pleaded with David Lammy to meet them in an attempt to end the impasse over the protests that's left some of them severely unwell. The intervention came after 3 of the prisoners were simultaneously in hospital on Sunday, one of whom has been refusing food for 51 days. I'm so sorry, 2 of whom, I'm so sorry. Another of 43 days. They're taking, it is reported, just water with salt. I suppose that provides electrolytes, does it? Your party MP, Jeremy Corbyn, spoke outside the Ministry of Justice last week, demanding ministers meet with these hunger strikers.
We have written a letter signed by 50 members of Parliament demanding something so uncomplicated and so undifficult as a meeting with the representatives of the 8 people who are on hunger strike in British prisons. What was the answer I got? No. And a lot of MPs started laughing at that point.
Dr. James Smith is an emergency doctor and lecturer at University College London. He's been campaigning for the hunger strikers to receive medical care. I doubt that you've been able to actually physically examine them. What will be happening to these individuals? It seems an extraordinary amount of time to go without any actual food. Good morning, Doctor.
Morning, Nick. Yes, you're right. I've not been able to physically visit the prisoners, but I have spoken to several of them on the phone and I've been providing support to the next of kin. At this stage, I mean, 4 of the 8 have been without food for 45 days or more now. Beyond day 30, 35, the body has entered into a critical state where we know from previous hunger strikes over the course of history that serious changes can happen very suddenly. And that relates most often to the heart entering into a state of dysregulation, or the body becoming much more susceptible to infections, which of course are circulating even in prisons at this time of year. And those two things are of particular concern. So this is a very serious stage now that several of the hunger strikers have reached.
Pardon my ignorance, Doctor. Are clinicians able to force feed people?
No. No, so there's very clear guidance now. I mean, in other contexts, the US government in Guantanamo Bay, of course, but the ethics of that is highly questionable. And in the UK, no, there is no guidance or policy of force feeding, quite appropriately.
What will the individuals be going through? Nausea? What will they be experiencing, Doctor?
I mean, physically profound symptoms, pain, nausea, a lot of the hunger strikers have complained of severe chest pain, severe abdominal pain. One of the hunger strikers complained that the last one that I spoke to on the phone complained of chest pain at 5 p.m. on Tuesday of last week. And it wasn't until 1 p.m. the following day that an ambulance was able to take them to hospital. They are still admitted, receiving medical treatment now. Psychologically, it's, of course, extremely difficult. They will be very fatigued. The weight of this, of course, is very difficult. And it appears to me that they have also been subjected to other forms of mistreatment. For example, having communication with family members blocked or denied. When they've been admitted to hospital, they've been chained to the bed or to a prison guard, which really, again, and there's very clear guidance on this, Nick, is considered wholly inappropriate unless an individual poses a threat to themselves or to others, which none of the hunger strikers do at this stage. The last admission for one of the hunger strikers, she had to be wheeled to hospital in a wheelchair. To then be sort of physically chained to a guard or to a bed is completely unnecessary.
Presumably, they'll have virtually no sleep pattern at all.
Sleep is going to be completely dysregulated, absolutely. I mean, these are really, really difficult conditions that they have put themselves through for the sake of drawing attention to the issues that they've drawn attention to.
I mean, I hate to ask this question, but I feel it is relevant. 51 days, we read, existing only on water with salt, which presumably is to provide electrolyte. I mean, how much longer can a human body go on like that?
Well, I think, you know, I've had that question from a lot of people, Nick, and the short answer is we don't know. The hunger strikers back in the early 1980s, those who died between day 46 and 73. The hunger strikers at this stage are perhaps physiologically more well. They're younger, of course. But that shouldn't really prompt the government to be even more complacent than it already has been. We are already in that critical stage where something catastrophic could happen at any moment. And we've had next of kin speak to me saying when they get a phone call from an unknown number,
oh,
don't know if it's going to be an announcement that their next of kin is dead.
Oh, that is awful. Doctor, thank you for your time today. Dr. James Smith, you're an emergency doctor and lecturer at University College in London, campaigning for those hunger strikers to receive medical care. Now, all of them have been arrested for alleged offences relating to Palestine Action before the group was banned under terrorism legislation. These include accused of breaking into RAF Brize Norton in June. You may recall it is alleged two military jets were damaged. Also, allegations of break-ins at the Israeli-linked defence firm Elbit Systems back in 2024. They're due to go on trial in May next year at the earliest. They deny the charges. Well, they're not going to live for 5 months. Meanwhile, among their demands is that David Lammy and the UK government, there's also time better for the citizens of the UK in ending UK complicity in the ongoing genocide, they're referring to Gaza, by supporting the prisoners and bring about an end of the conflict in the Middle East. Now, look, these are very committed individuals. These are very unwell individuals, but surely even in their state they can realise it's the United Kingdom can't stop the fight in the Middle East. But could they be doing more? We'll come back to that. And we'll take your calls on 4 Day Week and we'll, of course, conclude our review of the year. And you might not believe it, but sometimes this show doesn't quite go the way it's expected. And my personal favourite story of the day, and goodness knows we do try to make your days brighter,
We deployed a Royal Navy frigate and RAF planes to monitor and track this vessel's every move, during which the Yantar directed lasers at our pilots.
Miscommunication there. That is not my favourite story of the day. My favourite story of the day was actually the naked cyclist, but somehow we got the world at war. 9:31, breakfast with me, Nick Ferrari, and LBC News Time, Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly pressure the Home Secretary in the new year to scrap non-crime hate incidents. Officers will warn that recording them undermines freedom of speech and diverts away from fighting crime. A man is due to appear in court in Swindon shortly, charged with 56 offences against his former wife over a 13-year period. Philip Young, who's 49, is accused of drugging and raping Joanne Young, who's waived her right to anonymity. And the local government secretary has written to councils in England warning them not to introduce four-day working weeks. It's after the system was brought in by the authority in South Cambridgeshire earlier this year, which it claimed to have helped retain staff. LBC weather cloudy for large parts of the UK today. Some outbreaks of rain in the west with a high of 10 degrees.
This is LBC.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the sports media industry. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Niamh, a sports media student in Year 12.
During class, I've edited football videos for socials, reported on games, and even produced my own highlight packages. Working directly with the industry makes me excited for my future career in sports broadcasting.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in Years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
When your favourite celebs strut their stuff. When the underdog rises to the occasion. When you can't believe the judges' scores.
Wow, that was fantastic.
Wish I could pass a doge like that.
Well, for starters, you could pass a doge bickies.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels. So you can enjoy every twist and turn of your favourite reality show. Search TV licence together.
Global Player is home to fantastic podcasts like Full Disclosure with James O'Brien.
Join me for thoughtful conversations with fascinating people from the worlds of politics, news and entertainment.
There's no national procurement system for schools or hospitals or old people's homes.
There just should be.
We could love our farmers much more by having a Ministry of Food that we had in the war.
Plus, there is so much more. Global Player. Download it now for free.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060973.
Let's get back to the row over the four-day week. 5 days pay, 4 days work. Friends in Sidcup. Friends, you're on the radio. Good morning.
Good morning, Nick. I would understand the argument if they say, oh, we're going to be more productive working 10-hour days, mm-hmm. 4 days a week, and then, offer 7 day service or something, so it just, you don't have to work every weekend, for example. But I don't get it when they say, so they're too exhausted working 8 hours a day, but, okay, so we're working 10 hours now, 4 days a week. So you're literally telling us you're not going to be able to do anything those 2 hours extra a day because you're already too exhausted after 8 hours.
I'm guessing you're probably the London Borough of Bexley if you're in Sidcup. What sort of service are you getting from them?
Well, I don't know, but it gets more expensive every year.
It does get more expensive. And it seems a bit, literally a bit rich in that we're having to pay more to get less service. That doesn't seem right at all.
And in my opinion, nobody should give themselves better terms and conditions than the lowest workers in the company. So, the bin workers, the cleaners and stuff. Okay, if they get off at the same terms, then they can live with it. But don't say we're too exhausted sitting behind a computer screen using air half the day. And then, but everybody else working on the streets, doing the runs, doing all the, heavy lifting, they're going to be fine working 5 days, 8 hours a day. If you do better terms and conditions for yourselves, give it to the lowest paid people first. And then you can have it.
I think the government are probably in tune with the mood of the public on this one. Franz, thank you for that. Brian's in Pinner. Brian, you're on the radio. What do you want to tell me? Good morning.
Hi, Nick.
Hello.
First of all, I'd like to say, who's actually decided this? Because
so far, only one local authority has actually opted for it. 24 others are looking at it, and Glasgow and Edinburgh, Glasgow and separately Edinburgh, will debate and vote it early in the new year.
And if these guys that are looking at it, are they benefit from it as well?
Well, they, you see, say, South Cambridgeshire say that the residents are having a better deal. I mean, I find that extraordinary, really.
Well, if they're benefiting from it, the actual people that are putting it through, the council authorities, that's a conflict of interest. And what about the sick? Because these guys don't actually have a great record with their attendance.
No, they don't.
So now they're doing a 4-day week, let's say, and they have a day off. That's now a 3-day week, but with 4 days' pay and only one sick day on their record.
And if you look at the absenteeism in some, not all,
it's big.
In some public sector, it is enormous, mate. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I'd match my record to any one of them any day of the week.
What is it you do, Brian?
I'm a freelance painter on film sets.
Okay, that's interesting. And, so when you get a commission or whatever, I imagine you can't say, well, I'll work 4 days next week, but I can't come in on the fifth.
So generally, that is the way it works. Mm. I think we're a bit more flexible now with some of the ladies that we're bringing into the industry,
mm-hmm.
the children and things like that. But we haven't quite got where we want to be on that yet. But, I mean, ultimately, as a ratepayer, a council taxpayer, we are the customers. Why aren't we voting on this?
We're not allowed to. Well, sorry, we can vote for our local authority when the local elections come around, but otherwise we can't.
And what's the chances of ever changing this back? Can you imagine the mess?
No, never going to be done. If they get their 4-day week, you'll never get them back. You'll never get them back on the 5-day. So that's it in South Cambridgeshire. You know that for certain.
Yeah, well, I don't think they'd be happy if you put that out to a vote.
Right. I've got to ask you, what have you worked on then? Tell me the sort. Do you do TV or movie or what exactly?
I've done pretty much everything, Nick. Of course, I've done Bond films and Born Identity films and blah blah.
And what do you do? You actually did you say you paint things?
Well, we paint the film sets. I mean, obviously we're creating a fantasy world in a lot.
Fantastic. So where do you work, Shepperton?
Everywhere. I've worked all over the world. At the moment, I'm working in Surrey.
Right.
Netflix production.
Busy?
Well, what's been a game changer in our industry is the Netflix, the Apple TV.
Paramount and everything.
The jobs we're getting now, some of these jobs are going on for like a year, 18 months, 2 years. It's incredible. It's never been so good.
Would it be a job you'd advise your kids to go into?
My daughter is doing it now.
Is she?
My son is a carpenter, and my daughter is a painter working in the industry as well.
Isn't that great to hear an industry kicking on like that? And lastly, I read that, I don't know, but I read that Hollywood and Netflix, they like to come to the UK because they think we have a good work ethic and we have a good pool of talented workers who can put in a shift. Is that broadly what you would say the reaction is?
I'd say generally yes. They like the country. They like the governments that give good tax incentives for them to. That's very important. That's a deal breaker if that doesn't happen.
Yeah, but it employs thousands of people and makes billions of pounds for the economy. Brian, good luck to the family. Thank you. Chandra, coming to you in a moment. Remember, we're taking your nominations for the front page picture. Here's one from John. It needs to be a picture from the White House when Trump and his cronies humiliated the most heroic and bravest leader in the world today. Europe and the rest of the free world leaders should take a long, hard look at themselves and grow a pair and stand up to the so-called most powerful leader of the free world. The man is an embarrassment to the rest of the human race. Obviously talking there about the confrontation between Presidents Trump and Zelensky. We talked about those hunger strikers. There's not a lot of support there. This comes in from... Oh, sorry, that was the wrong one. There we go, that's what we're looking for. Jamie. They are choosing not to eat. This is self-inflicted. George, these idiots are self-inflicting. They've made their bed. And Eleanor, even more strongly, why are you giving this bunch airtime? It's their choice not to eat. It's going wrong for them as they're not getting what they want. They're in prison. Well, hang on, sorry. They're not in prison. They are in prison awaiting trial. I can say that. Can't say what you said there. And they don't like it. If they die, they die by their choice. We should take no action. Yeah, here we are. Stuart Barget. Good morning. These people have the choice to eat or not, unlike the hostages held by Hamas in the tunnels in Gaza. Let them be. My goodness me. Ian, let me get this right. I can allegedly break into a military establishment, allegedly vandalise equipment, and get sent to jail, but then expect to be let out because I'm starving myself.
Well, they want the... I don't quite know how they think they can do it. David Lammy and the UK government to bring about peace in the Middle East. My goodness, no one... Tony simply says, who cares? Wow, I didn't think you'd be as... Who's this? Oh, you haven't written it. Oh, yes, you have. Nigel Sandbach. If only there was an easy solution to people not becoming ill, doing on hunger strike. Eat something, they are idiots. Not one shred of compassion. Well, so much for the Christmas spirit. We'll come back to your calls in a moment. But this does relate, of course, to the issues in the Middle East. And we are giving you the big stories of the year. So you can close out the year at whatever party, drinks, reception, lunch, whatever you're at, knowing what's happening. And unfortunately, the Middle East, really the situation has not moved forward at all. To October, President Trump speaking at their parliament, the Knesset, after his plan for peace was agreed by Israel and Hamas.
This long and difficult war has now ended. You know, some people say 3,000 years, some people say 500 years, whatever it is. It's the granddaddy of them all. And in an unprecedented achievement, virtually the entire region has endorsed the plan that Gaza will be immediately demilitarized, that Hamas will be disarmed, and Israel's security will no longer be threatened in any way, shape, or form.
A hero, of course, now in Israel, that 20-point peace plan. But it has to be, which was, of course, worked out with mediators from Egypt, Qatar and Turkey, endorsed by both Israel and Hamas. But it has not brought an end, unfortunately, to the killing. One thing, I suppose, that has happened you can talk about is that the hostages and, sadly, in some of the instances, their remains have now been returned. But I sense we're probably no closer to peace as we approach this Christmas than we were last Christmas or even the Christmas before that. So no real move forward on that. Let's take a call now on the four-day week back here in the UK. Local authorities looking at it, not just South Cambridgeshire, but also Scotland as well now. Chandra's in Newcastle. Chandra, your reaction to this. Good morning.
Very good morning, Nick. Thanks, as always. For the last 17 years, we've either had no growth or sluggish growth year after year. And one of the, well, the big news story which you listed out for this year is the Chancellor's emotions, effectively. I mean, you are highly critical of Chancellor's performance, our economy's performance. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not exaggerating it, but what we all should be doing is working twice as hard, almost as if on a war footing, and build our economy. We should be on a nation-building mode in economic terms, rather than on looking after our own backsides. Now, this, I've had a long time in public sector, and for the last 8 years, I've been a private consultant, and I work 60 hours a week, Monday to Saturday, a lot of Sundays, just to make ends meet. I'm significantly more qualified than a large proportion of public sector employees who will be listening to your call this morning. Mm-hmm. And I can guarantee you I work at least twice as hard just to make ends meet. And for these individuals to think they can work, they can be as productive as they will be in 4 days for 5 days' pay is for the birds, really, Nick. And we've... Year after year, we have been complaining that the productivity is down. How will the productivity go up if the population is not getting it? We are not doing well economically. This is really serious situation. This is a time of coming together to nation build. This is not a time of coming together to look after ourselves.
But lastly, Chandra, how likely is it, do you think, that people would buy into that spirit that you've just outlined?
At least I can say with some confidence that there is at least 50% of the population who get it and who really want the nation to do well. But
all right, Chandra, thank you. I must leave it there. Stuart says, if office staff at South Cambridge Council are being offered 4 days a week to improve staff retention, what are they going to do to improve staff retention for non-office staff when they all start leaving to take office jobs for the four-day week? Jack says, if the council has good figures and is not failing, by all means. If it isn't managing now, then definitely not. Let the current workers go and employ new ones. Also asking you for your front page picture. I think we're probably there on Prince Andrew, although Graham in Bushy is coming with an interesting one. He suggests Angela Ranger lounging on a dinghy, puffing on a vape off the coast of Hove, where she bought a flat and tried to pay the reduced stamp duty, but then found out. That's actually quite a good one. But I think compared with Rachel Reeves or Andrew Mountbatten Windsor, probably not. Now, coming towards our last section with you for the year, and I know it seems like it's been plain sailing, but sometimes it's not actually that seamless.
Even the Americans who are supplying most of the weapons for the Israelis are ringside observers in this drama.
All right, this line is breaking up, Matt. We'll leave it there. Thank you. Matt Fry is well. I promise you I can see him on a video. It didn't sound like he was. Sounded like he was on the Drambuie, but we couldn't even get a line into southwest London. There are other bloopers, and we'll share them with you. 9:46, LBC News headlines, Dominic Ellis.
Police leaders will reportedly push for all forces to stop recording non-crime hate incidents in the new year. The family of a police officer injured during the Bondi Beach shooting say he's woken up from a medically induced coma. And the local government secretary has warned all councils in England not to introduce four-day working weeks. LBC weather, cloudy for large parts of the UK. Some outbreaks of rain in the west, a high of 10 degrees.
LBC Travel, I'm Dave Goff. The Arquies in Dagenham on the A13 going out of town. There's one lane closed because of an accident after the Lodge Avenue junction. There's only one Woolwich ferry running. That's because of technical problems. In King's Cross, Penton Rise southbound is closed for emergency repairs between Pentonville Road and King's Cross Road. On the trains, Southern and Gatwick Express are running a reduced service at Victoria because of festive timetable changes. Southeastern are running to a Saturday timetable today and tomorrow. Southwestern Railway, they're running a reduced service between Waterloo and Exeter St David's because of a shortage of trains. Greater Anglia have no service between Broxbourne and Hartford East. That's because of the flooding after a water main burst. And there's disruption to a number of TfL bus routes in southwest, west and northwest London. That's because of a strike.
Coming up at 10 on LBC, Lewis Goodall.
Donald Trump has named a new class of American warship after, you guessed it, himself. And can a train driver who earns $80,000 a year really be considered working class?
Lewis Goodall at 10. Listen on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app.
This Christmas Eve, the £50 million Lotto jackpot must be won.
Must be won.
Must be won.
Must be won.
Yes, the £50 million Lotto jackpot must be won on Christmas Eve. There's magic in the air, so get your ticket today. Lotto from the National Lottery. It could be you. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Call Nick Ferrari now. 0345 6060 973. LBC.
When your favourite celebs strut their stuff. When the underdog rises to the occasion. When you can't believe the judges' scores.
That was fantastic.
Wish I could pass a dobe like that.
Well, for starters, you could pass a doze bickies.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And a TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels, so you can enjoy every twist and turn of your favourite reality show. Search TV licence together.
When you're smiling.
Don't let missing teeth stop you smiling. At Banning Dental, our experts could restore your beautiful smile with premium dental implants. See online for our price match promise. Banning Dental Group Clinics. Keep on smiling.
Keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. And the whole world smiles with you.
BanningDental.co.uk.
Protect your pets over this festive period. Visit petsinapickle.co.uk and enjoy Christmas covered.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the future you want. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Imad, a GCSE student in year 11.
Alongside my core GCSEs, such as maths, English and science, I study creative subjects such as media, drama, art and design, business and music technology, which are all recognised by the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
This Christmas Eve, the £50 million Lotto jackpot must be won.
Must be won.
Must be won.
Must be won.
Yes, the £50 million Lotto jackpot must be won on Christmas Eve. There's magic in the air, so get your ticket today. Lotto from the National Lottery. It could be you. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Call 0345 6060 973.
to the last section or segment of the year. That's a funny old feeling. Let's go. Well, what's that about proof of the pudding? How appropriate at Christmas time? Let's find out about the proof of the pudding with regards to South Cambridgeshire Council by going there. Brendan's in Hardwick. You live in this area, is that correct? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Nick. Yes, I do.
It's all going to come down to you then, buddy. What do you make of their decision? How good are they, or otherwise?
It's not a popular decision amongst quite a few of us.
Right.
It was like a lot of things, it was consulted and then put into place. Mm-hmm. From memory, I think it was the office staff, first of all, and then all South Cam's workers.
Including the refuse crews?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. And there was, obviously, we chat, and there was talk about having to recruit people because, obviously, you have a gap now with people working or not working. And people are recruited onto four-day weeks. And obviously, people are thinking, well, if they have to revert that, yeah, what do we do with the people who are recruiting on four-day weeks? It's now a general thing. One of the arguments about it was that the leader of the council who implements it, was writing a paper on the benefits of a four-day week.
Ah, right.
No names. But it was just something that was just put in.
Broadly speaking, then, if you were to stop 10 good folk on Hardwick High Street, they'd probably say, no, we'd like to go back to our five-day week. It's far better service then.
Well, it's not so much that. The service, I think, is pretty much the same. It's just now it's obviously going to cost more to do it.
Yeah, of course. And that's going to be... And I imagine your council taxes are only going one way.
Oh, God, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, yeah. It's... with all the various... precepts, I think they call them.
Yep.
It was quite a high raise this year.
Thanks for coming back to us. The proof of the pudding, as I say, is in Brendan's eating. Have a good Christmas. Thank you. I've got to close the polling now. So the magazine we've been putting together throughout the course of today, which has been charting the events throughout the course of 2025. In third place, it would be anything to do with a picture of the crossings. In second place, it would be that very distressing picture of Rachel Reeves crying in the House of Parliament. But the winner, as I thought going in, was actually the first one we looked at, wasn't it? The story of the year for you is Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor. The humiliation and disgrace is complete now, stripped of all titles. And even today, The Sun revealing that they've taken his shotgun licence away, which might seem a little bit strange. But that is the way it goes on that. So it would be Prince Andrew, and I think I will go for... the picture of him, I think it was last week or it might be the week before, on his horse in the pouring rain, as his daughters, who won't be seeing him, one of whom is going skiing rather than see her father, were enjoying a Christmas lunch at the palace with their uncle King Charles. All right, that probably concludes it for this year, save for we've put together, and I know you'll find this difficult to believe with the crack team with which I work, but sometimes things don't quite go the way we planned. Do you think I was ever an otter?
Who told you about otters?
That got you, didn't it? Otters, by the way, is gay expressions. Late 20s to 30s. Leaner, usually hairy, often with a lot of facial hair. we'll finish there, because I'd also lead you into Chubbs, Cubs, Pups and Twinks. Sosna in Ipswich. Sosna, what's your story? Good morning.
You've been placed on hold.
Okay, please. I'll come back to you when I can. Brenda the Buzzard is causing havoc on the borders of London and Essex. LBC's very own David Attenborough, Henry Riley, went on the hunt to find Brenda.
There's only one thing on people's minds.
Brenda? Not so friendly, Buzzard.
Yes, I've seen Brenda various times. I've been learning more about Brenda.
But can we stick a call in? He doesn't have to come on air. Just what... Why did he do that sort of stab or whatever you call it? I simply don't understand what's going on. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your call and the work you do for fellow veterans. Quite incredible to speak with someone who was shot in the helmet and sustained brain injuries.
Even the Americans were supplying most of the weapons for the Israelis are ringside observers in this drama.
All right, this line is breaking up, Matt. We'll leave it there. Thank you. Matt Fry is well. I promise you I can see him on a video. It didn't sound like he was.
Coming in, going back, and then coming in.
Yeah.
And just get yourself really focused on these waves. All right? And then you stood first off the seat.
Wendy, I think it worked.
No, I bet it does. You've got to be in bed and...
But I just want to quickly look back at a report we played about 15 minutes ago, it was, about a buzzard called Brenda. And some of you were surprised by the report filed by LBC's Henry Riley, who went to find Brenda. And every time you heard the name of the bird, which was, Brenda, a piece of music was played. Now, I was puzzled, but I stand corrected, because it has received overwhelming support. Poor Henry, I think, thinks he's got to return to Leicester Square to get a dressing down. If you're listening, young man, no, you are right, and I am wrong. Here's Steve in Romford, which is just up the road from Brenda. That report from your reporter really made us laugh. Kids at the back of the car were howling at the noise every time Brenda's name was mentioned. Great work, and it's why I switched from the BBC. How dangerous is a spork? Well, there's really only one way to find out. So my LBC colleague is armed with a spork. I'm taking my jacket off, by the way, if you think I'm bouncing around a lot. Unfortunately, his name is Freddy. Not Freddy Krueger. This happens to be Freddy Hall. And come on, Freddy. Right, and by the way, I absolve you of any responsibility. This is totally my decision. This has not been cleared by management. it's not as if you're fighting for your life, but right, go for a chunky bit. I want you to stab me with
what
that.
What if I kill you, Nick?
Well, you won't. Go ahead. Right. Go ahead.
Oh, it's just that. I'll go one more time. I'll give it a right purchase. Hang on, one more time. Here we go. Does that hurt?
And my personal favourite story of the day, and goodness knows we do try to make your days brighter.
We deployed a Royal Navy frigate and RAF planes to monitor and track this vessel's every move, during which the Yantar directed lasers at our pilots.
Miscommunication there. That is not my favourite story of the day. Well, Bobby Jendrick has turned Charles Bronson and has done it, and LBC's Henry Riley's in the studio with the details. Morning, Henry.
Morning, Nick. They're calling him Detective...
Have you dressed as someone from the London Transport?
I've just got a white short sleeve
shirt as if you're a bus driver.
If I'd known this was going to be the talking point of the office this morning...
You're going undercover. Plus... Next door. Okay, we'll maybe edit that out. I'll tell you what that's about after the news, when I've had a conversation with one of my colleagues. So we were trying to listen to a conversation with a caller about what type of gay man I would be, attempting to get a line into Sosna in Ipswich. Henry Riley's controversial report on Brenda, the eagle. A call with a veteran who'd been shot in the helmet. Trying to get a line into Matt Fry's living room just in southwest London. Being sent to sleep by a listener. Being stabbed with a spork by my colleague, firing the wrong tees, as it's called, or playing the wrong bit of music, heading into war instead of playing Bicycle Race by Queen, teasing Henry Riley for dressing like a bus driver, and a technical glitch when trying to play that Neighbours theme song. That's been the year. If you miss any of today's show, listen back on our free Global Player app or the new LBC app. You can stay up to date on the top stories and opinion, put your news categories in the order you want, pause and rewind live radio, and listen to a range of podcasts. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Oh, you can listen to my Christmas special from 1 p.m. on Christmas Day. I'm done. Lewis Goodall's the other side of the news. It just remains for me to say thank you for all your calls and your support through the year. Have a good Christmas and a safe new year.
Thanks so much, Nick, and a Merry Christmas to you as well. Donald Trump has decided to name a new fleet of warships after himself. It even has his face on the aft of the ship, as it were. Is anyone surprised? This is only the latest move in Trump 2, which has made America seem, well, a little more banana republic than American republic than ever before. The renaming of the Kennedy Center, the Trump Kennedy Center. He's made $800 million from crypto in 6 months while being in charge of crypto. He's proposed seizing Gaza to build a Trump-branded beach resort. He's demolished the White House to build a gold ballroom. He blamed DEI for a helicopter crash. And he called Somali Americans garbage. Is this chaos as we've known before, or is it kleptocracy with a presidential seal of approval? Is Trump madder than ever?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, police leaders are understood to be pushing for the Home Secretary to scrap non-crime hate incidents in the new year. Officials will meet with Shabana Mahmood next month and call for a new common-sense approach instead. Under the plans, officers will reportedly only record the most serious antisocial behaviour offences. His Majesty's Chief Inspector of Constabulary, Sir Andy Cook, told LBC in September that the system needs to be reviewed.
Police are struggling to understand it. The public certainly don't understand it. So the legislation, in my view, and the policy around it needs to change. People do want to see police officers on the streets. I mean, my annual report is very clear that the police need to focus on the issues that the public see as the real problems, the street crimes, the lawlessness, the lack of visible police presence on the streets. And the police need to get the basics right around this.
A man is due to appear in court in Swindon, charged with 56 offences against his former wife. Philip Young, who's 49, is accused of drugging and raping Joanne Young over a 13-year period. Five other men have also been charged with sexual offences against the 48-year-old, who's waived her right to anonymity. Officials in Ukraine say there are widespread power cuts across the country after Russia launched a massive air attack overnight. One person was killed in Kyiv, while two others were killed in the west of the country. The family of a police officer injured during the Bondi Beach shooting say he's woken up from a medically induced coma. Scott Dyson was one of two officers hurt during the attack, in which 15 people were killed. The local government secretary has warned councils in England not to introduce a four-day working week. It's after the system was brought in by the South Cambridgeshire District Council earlier this year. A Labour source says voters deserve high standards and seeing staff working a four-day week won't cut it. But the Lib Dem councillor Bridget Smith, who leads the South Cambridgeshire Authority, told LBC in July that it's massively improved productivity.
It's taken us from being a good council to being an outstanding council because our staff are highly motivated. They are working much, much smarter. We've seen improvements across the board. We've saved nearly £400,000 a year because we're not paying expensive agency staff.
And people who've grown up in care will be able to get free prescriptions and dental treatments until their 25th birthday. The government has announced plans to extend support for around 100,000 more young people from next year. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading up 10 at 98.76. The pound buys $1.35 and €1.14. LBC weather, cloudy for large parts of the UK today. Some outbreaks of rain in the west with a high of 10 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with Lewis Goodall.
Time is 10.04. You're listening to Lewis Goodall here on LBC, sitting in for James O'Brien, up to and including Christmas Eve. Don't let it be said that Santa isn't treating you this year. Lots of politics to get through. And of course, as we approach the big day, of course, on the 25th, it is natural, in news terms as well, to just take a little bit of a breather and think about the year just gone. And the year just gone has been characterised by one thing and one man: the restoration, the return of the daily drumbeat of all of our lives, the daily punctuation of Trump. Day after day, week after week, he lives inside our heads. We cannot escape him. He is on every screen. He is on virtually every tweet. He is on every platform. He is inescapable. He is ubiquitous. It is the key to his success. In so many ways, he is a communications genius, the social media president, the first thereof after a string of television presidents. He understands the content age in which we live. It is one of the reasons, one of the many reasons, he is a more successful politician than someone like Keir Starmer, who would have been far more at home in the late or early 21st centuries. Trump, for better or ill, is a politician of the spirit of our age. And yet, partly as a result of that, partly because he just sits inside our heads, partly because he doesn't leave us alone, partly because he has mastered the art of political and mental, almost physiological, exhaustion, it can be so easy to forget what he does and the things that he does and when he does it and what it all amounts to. And you can just become weary with it, which is, as I say, the secret, I think, of his political success. But when you
take the long view of the course of his second term. I think this has been something of an entirely different order than we saw in Trump 1. Trump 2 is madder, he's radicalized, and he's more authoritarian. And that has huge implications for the United States and for the world. And I think in this hour of the show, it is just, at the end of the year, worth thinking about the consequences of those things and taking stock about him, what he's done, how he's did it, and asking you whether you think that Trump's term has been even more bonkers, even madder than you thought it would be. Or maybe you think, actually, he's done some good things and he has got some successes under his belt, which we'll talk about as well. 0345 60 60 973. Let's just review a little bit. Trump's first term was chaos. This term, as I say, madder, more radicalized, more authoritarian, and he's getting rich while he's doing it. He is taking America into full-on banana republic territory at times. What did we learn overnight? He has renamed a whole suite of new American warships after, you guessed it, himself. Because nothing speaks for full-on narcissism than a desire to see a fleet of American warships with your own fat, beaming face off the side. That is the model that he unveiled yesterday. That comes only a week after the renaming of the Kennedy Arts Center in Washington, D.C., a very august institution, been named after President Kennedy for decades, the Trump Kennedy Arts Center. And they had the gall to congratulate President Kennedy, who has been dead since 1963, for the privilege of it. Not often you usually congratulate people who have been dead for the best part of 60 years. But this is Trump's America. Let's look at the money. $800 million in crypto for the Trump estate in 6 months. $11 billion in holdings. Whilst who is regulating crypto? Well, it's Donald Trump. Companies donate to his inauguration. The investigations into those companies disappear. It's not corruption. It's a Trump subscription service. The madness. He posted AI videos of Trump Gaza, luxury resorts with a golden statue of himself. Then actually proposed seizing Gaza, displacing 2 million Palestinians for, you guessed it, Trump hotels. Ethnic cleansing as a business plan. The Riviera of the Middle East. He demolished the White House East Wing overnight. No vote, just bulldozed it, all for a gold ballroom. He had a Saudi Arabian leader in the Oval Office, and I swear to God, he was looking around the Oval Office, and the Saudi Arabian was probably saying to himself, Jesus, Don, you've gone a bit overboard here with the gold. He's named warship after himself, the USS Trump. He's blamed DEI for a helicopter crash. Charlie Kirk got assassinated and Trump's eulogy became a campaign rally. He called Somalian Americans garbage. He told Lesotho that nobody's ever heard of them. He threatened Rob Reiner with investigation for criticism. When Zelensky